much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
The American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this program.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You know, this show is like a dynasty. You hold it, and then you hand it off to the next person. And I don't want to see all the fighting and all, and who's better, and nasty things back and forth in the press. So right now, here it is. Conan, it's yours. See you in 5 years, buddy. Okay.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Is that accurate?
Well, it's not so much that they are untrue as much as they are true-less or lie-ish.
It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Okay, it's true.
100% true, with a margin of error of 100%.
I was fortunate enough to meet your mom and talk with your mom a number of years ago. What do you think she would have said about this?
I don't really know him, but he just seems like a dick to me.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Geez, you're proud of it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is Avidar.
Roll another one.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
Just like the other one.
Where would we be without the Snoop
this
man?
Seems to be about to quit.
We've got Snooki.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Don't never ever trust Whitey.
Roll another one.
Hungry like the vagina.
Just like the other one.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
This one seems to be about to end.
What happened?
I don't have.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Just pass it around.
I can't believe it.
And now,
I am the crazy accordion lady. This is my song.
Our feature presentation.
That's not a song, by the way. That does not qualify as a song.
No, I agree.
Where'd you find the crazy accordion lady?
She was from the other day. We were going through clips from American Idol from the audition. Oh. She showed up at an audition. I know.
I am the crazy accordion lady. Wow.
And this is my song.
I just want to be on TV.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what that means. Hey, got a couple of lines open for your telephone calls for the Friday, the long-awaited Friday edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. It's toll-free, and it's 1-800-520-1067. And I'd just like to start off today by saying that Kevin is bad, and he has lost whatever minute amount of respect I had left for Kevin is now gone.
You haven't had respect for me in years.
There was just a sliver left. Oh. There was just I was just hanging on to just the tiniest amount until this morning.
Until what? What did I do today?
Well, I found out that you knew about the guy who's been injecting silicone into his penis for 6 years and didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
How do you not share that with the world?
Well, it's not something you want to see.
It's something that you hear about and think you want to see.
Yes,
and then what? And then once you see it, you regret it forever.
Then you go, "Oh no, I wish I wouldn't have seen that," because then it's burned in your mind. So I was trying to. Oh,
were we looking at this again?
Yeah, Mike's playing it. Yeah,
Lisa, have you seen it yet?
No, yes, there's have. Actual video.
Lisa's walk around.
I saw a picture.
Come over here. And
I didn't
look.
See the video.
Come over here and look.
All right, here's the deal.
That's
again,
not attractive, is what I'm saying.
Your calls, 1-800-520-1067 in a minute here. Here's the deal. This guy, and I don't know why, but
my God.
He's been injecting silicone into his penis for 6 years. Now, you might think, well, he's just trying to improve his penis so he has better luck and better time with the ladies, right?
Right.
No. It's a – what's it the size of? It's bigger than a softball, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would say his sack's probably the size of a cantaloupe.
That's unbelievable.
His actual twig is about the size of what? Like an eggplant?
I don't know what size eggplants are, but
Yeah, about the size of a large eggplant.
And it's not, so what it, the least, it doesn't resemble what it used to at all either.
He doesn't.
It just looks like a big mass.
Right.
He can't have sex at all. Right, exactly. So what's the point of putting silicone in your penis if it's not for sexual reasons?
I don't know, but I know the video that we're watching right now, he's doing nothing but talking. So I'm guessing that he explains it.
I listened to what he had to say, and he didn't really explain why he wanted to do it, but he does love it, and he is fascinated by it. He talks about how problematic it has been over the years.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like a woman with giant breasts who can't sleep, who can't run.
Yeah, he's a freak show.
Can't find clothes. But what does he look like in pants?
Well, bad. I mean, there's a giant. I mean, it's like he has a soccer ball in the front of his pants.
Right, exactly.
That's basically it. Yeah, I didn't know about that. I mean, you're right. I'm wrong about that. I should have told you, but
yeah.
Certainly should have shared that, because here's what I'm saying. I'm scarred for life. I'll never forget it. I need to inflict that pain on others.
Of course.
I'm with that. So
on
I'm down
everyone.
With that.
That's amazing.
Unfortunately, I don't know because of rules and regulations that we can put this on our website. So this may be something that has to go up with things we can't do on the air. I mean, we may have to find a place for this so people can go and look at it.
Yeah, it's not what you want. I'll tell you that right now.
Wow.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
40 of the most popular pro bull riders in the world are all coming together this weekend at the Honda Center of Anaheim. Oh, take it back. It's going to be today. How about that? Starting today. And you'll win a pair of tickets to see that with your very own eyes at 1-800-520-1067. That's the prize for getting on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
Let's say good morning to Dewan first today.
Oh. Dewan from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Last Friday night, me and my friend saw the Book of Eli at the Man's Chinese Theater.
Nice.
It was off the hook.
It was off the hook?
Yeah.
I saw that movie, too, and I would say it was really good, but I don't know that I'd go with off the hook.
Now, which one is the Book of
Eli? When
Denzel
Washington carried a chop off of the bad guys up with his big, sharp knife.
He did have a giant knife, and he did cut people's bodies to shreds.
Like, oh, good.
Hand off, arm, leg, head. It was a little rough.
Dewan, I haven't seen the movie. If it won't spoil it for everybody, why is he roaming the countryside virtually by himself? What happened to all the people? Has there been a big war?
I think his family died. It takes place in the future.
It's in the future, and there's been like a nuclear war, so there are very few people alive.
Right, okay. All right. I just saw it looked like him walking around in vast empty spaces,
yes.
And I thought, well, that doesn't look good. So you would recommend Book of Eli?
Yeah, it's like the extinction.
It's like what?
Extinction, like extinction.
Oh, extinction.
Extinction.
Oh, yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right, man is threatened with that, and certain books, including the Bible, there's only one left.
Right.
So they think whoever gets it has power.
I hope you and Jessica listen to this morning, because I'll be thinking about you guys all the time.
Are you talking to 90210 members?
No, talking about Laura and Jessica, my friend.
Oh, your friend, okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's
all right.
Nice.
I haven't seen for 2 months.
Yeah, wow. You should call them.
I should email them.
Okay, just as good. All right.
Okay. All right, Dewan. Well, listen, we have to move on. We have other calls, but I'm glad you liked the movie, and I'm glad you called. Have a good weekend, okay?
You too.
All right, bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye, Dewan. Wow, he didn't ask us for any free stuff. Cool. Let's try Michelle, shall we, in line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling What It Do.
Good morning, What It Do.
Hi. What It Do.
I'm calling because I was sitting on a very, very full plane in a middle seat a couple of weeks ago, and the guy sitting next to me, who looked, you know, somewhat normal, sort of like a hip, geeky guy, like he could be in Weezer.
Yes.
Started to pluck his upper arm hair with his fingers between his elbow and his T-shirt, where his T-shirt ended.
So he was just pulling hair off his arm?
Plucking the arm hair. So he was completely hairless from his elbow to where his T-shirt fell.
So I must have been really upset about that hair. He had to get it out right now.
Right? For 10 minutes.
But on the plane.
And then about 15 minutes before we landed, or maybe even less than that, because they announced we were getting ready to descend, he proceeded to spit into his hands 3 times and smooth his hair down, like he was using it as hair gel. It was
all right.
so disgusting. I wanted to look at him and say, are you effing my A? Really?
That's less effective when you have to shorten it, but thank you for shortening it.
Is he, it was like sitting next to a chimpanzee with all the grooming going on. Wow.
It was so gross, and he looked like a regular, normal dude, you know, when I sat down and...
You know, with the plucking, I was thinking sometimes that's an OCD thing, but then the spitting.
I'm sure the plucking was OCD, but yeah, the spitting.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, he
did
crazy.
It once, and then I'm like, ew.
Michelle.
Did you go home with him?
I wasn't.
You know what? I was kind of eyeing him a little bit.
There you go.
I wanted to tell him if he really worked up a good bit of phlegm, it could work even better on his hair. It would stay all day.
That is not the guy you want to sit next to on a plane.
Yeah, no.
That's not good. All right. Thank you, Michelle, for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do,
Risa?
Hi.
I was just curious if you guys could start the show like 5 minutes later.
Hey, I'm down with that.
I think it'd be better for everybody.
I agree.
I've been working on that for a long time.
5 minutes later would work for me.
Well, what's the particular problem with you?
Well, I'm a carpenter, so I get up pretty early as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And your show starts right as I'm pulling my car into 7-Eleven to grab my coffee.
Oh, so you miss
I always miss it.
You miss the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's fine with me because I can't get here at 5:30 anyway, so I'm good.
I know, exactly.
All right.
It could be perfect.
So 5:35 is
we'll work on that.
Maybe 5:40.
All right, 10 minutes. Okay.
All right. It's 10 more minutes. How about
noon? Is noon good for everybody?
You just call us when you're ready, and then we'll go.
Sweet.
All right, good. Thank you, Brian, for the call. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have LaQuisha today.
Yeah.
She's the best. She, of course, is recapping Jersey Shore, which is also the best.
Yeah.
We have
season finale last night.
Oh, I hate to see that.
It'll be
now
back.
What's the situation going to do?
It'll be back.
He's got a lot of options, that
sure.
situation. We have Adam Carolla talking about This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you what went terribly wrong with Psycho Mike and the world's largest gummy bear.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, tummy, funny, lucky gummy bear.
Come on. Wow. Andrew Siciliano on the show today talking about the NFL playoffs and Tiger Woods being seen in a sex rehab.
Mm-hmm.
Movie Beat with Ralph and comedian Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
There you go.
As well.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Very, very funny comedian. So we've got that coming up. And your tickets to Coachella. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now.
The band Phoenix, also Muse, Linkin Park, and yes, because you demanded it, Local H. All straight ahead the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All of that pales in comparison to our excitement for Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen, who joins us with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
It's pretty cool.
Pee Wee Herman's story?
No, I'm going to see him tonight.
Ah.
Pee Wee Herman's show is back on stage here in Los Angeles, and I'm going to go check him out tonight.
Awesome.
I cannot wait.
Why don't you marry him then?
Let's talk about show business, shall we? Tonight is the official last Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. Everyone's talking about the fact that the two parties have inked a deal that will allow Conan to walk away with a little over $32 million in his pocket. Here's the thing, though, which I didn't realize.
I think you can fit that much in your pocket.
Oh, sure you can. Oh. You use $1 million bills?
Oh, I didn't realize.
The deal will also include a non-disparagement clause for both parties.
Aww.
You may have noticed last night, and again, it will be the same tonight, Conan will make no reference and not be bagging on his former bosses at NBC in any way, because then he doesn't get his cash. So suddenly, everyone's being very quiet about each other.
Oh, that's too bad.
NBC can't talk poorly of him, nor can he talk poorly of the NBC executives, even though he is on the record of calling them morons for some time now.
Sure.
He won't be doing that any longer. So
yeah, he has gotten his shots in, that's for sure. He took advantage of the time while he could.
Tonight's, but you would think tonight would be like the grand finale of it. You know, he would spend the whole night doing it.
Tonight's guest will be Tom Hanks and Will Ferrell, which would be a good show on any night.
All right.
But the last Conan Tonight Show, I'm sure, will draw a large number of ratings. And did you hear what Leno said about Letterman the other night?
No. Because Letterman...
Letterman's been hitting him pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's been mostly... pertaining to this particular event.
Right.
Leno was talking about how Letterman's kind of bagging on him, and he said, there's only one way to get Letterman to ignore you,
That's to marry him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, he I thought that was really personal.
That was coloring outside of the lines, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because Letterman didn't do it that personally, did he?
No.
Not at all.
He just called him Big Jaw. That was about the
Big
most
Jaw,
personal it got.
Kind of a phony and says, you know, this is typical Jay and stuff. I mean, he's been giving him shots, but it's all been pertaining to the NBC situation. But Leno said, yeah, the only way to get Letterman to ignore you is to marry him, which I thought was a low blow.
And by the way, That's also not the kind of humor that Jay Leno does or is comfortable with, so he's got to be feeling pretty desperate right now.
Yeah.
He's a douchebag. He's made no fans throughout all of this. I'll be interested to see what the numbers are for the Tonight Show now that Jay takes over again on March 1st. We'll have to wait and see.
Me too. Did you hear that audio clip that I played first thing this morning, Ralph, of him from 5 years ago saying, there's not going to be a messy transition. Conan, I'm telling you now, it's yours in 2009. Go ahead and take it. I'm not going to stick around. Blah, blah, blah. He just went on and on and on. Every word of it turned out to be fake.
Yes.
Brett Favre.
Exactly. He's television's Brett Favre. Tonight also, television-wise, is the Haiti Relief Telethon.
It's
going to be on most of your major networks this evening, and you will be able to hear a brand new U2 song. Bono and the Edge will be performing, along with Jay-Z, a new song that they've written called Stranded. They'll perform it tonight during the London portion of the Help for Haiti Telethon. And Rihanna will also be performing from that leg of the telethon. So it should be pretty interesting. Beyonce and Madonna have also been added as performers on tonight's telethon.
Got a call yesterday, Ralph, for Melfon. So I don't know if we want
to... Oh, Melfon, they're asking them to play?
Yeah, so I don't know.
Ordinarily, I would say, you know, a reunion is out of the question. But for this worthy cause, we may have to put the band back together.
But then it becomes about Melfon. My fear is it overshadows Jay-Z, U2, and Haiti. You know, if Melfon gets back together, that's all people care about.
Well, maybe if we don't do the telethon, we can join Simon Cowell, who is putting together his own charity single. There's a long history of this kind of behavior in the music industry. It started, I guess, with Bob Geldof's Christmas song that was for African famine relief.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then they did We Are the World, of course, famously with Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. Simon Cowell said he is putting together a charity single to help the people of Haiti.
Michael Jackson going to be on it?
Yes.
All right.
Wait a minute. He said he'll be able to write, record, and have it on sale in 10 days.
That's going to be good.
Wow. That's going to be a good song, yeah.
Are there any celebrities tied to it yet?
He is in talks with Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Susan Boyle, and Leona Lewis, apparently.
All kind of his people,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. People he's got some connection with. So we'll see how that turns out. But he said that British Prime Minister Gordon Brown asked him to do it.
Huh.
Got a call from the Prime Minister himself, so.
All right.
Have to wait and see how that turns out. The subsequent ones after... Do They Know It's Christmas and We Are the World. The subsequent charity songs have been less than impressive.
Yeah.
Less than memorable.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm not holding out a lot of hope.
Hands Across America comes to mind.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I remember the event. I don't remember the song that came along with it, but I know there was one. That's what I'm talking about, I guess. Today's celebrity birthdays, Steve Perry, lead singer for Journey.
Yeah.
I love him.
Why don't you marry him?
He is 61 years old today. Linda Blair, actress Linda Blair. She was the little girl in The Exorcist. Remember, her head spins around. She threw up green slime all over the priest.
Yeah, that was not. That was something.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Yeah,
don't get me started. What she did with the crucifix. She's 51 years old today. Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler, former Guns N' Roses drummer. He is 46 years old. He spent some time at Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab,
so, didn't he?
Believe so. Actress Diane Lane. Oh man, at 45 years old, she is still just diabolical. I don't know what she's got, but she's still got it. Balthazar Getty. Talented actor is 35. Jazzy Jeff, DJ Jazzy Jeff. Remember him when he used to work with a guy called the Fresh Prince?
Sure.
Yo, smell you later. He is 45 years old today. And Christopher Kennedy Masterson from Malcolm in the Middle celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The movie beat. Because it's Friday with Ralph Garman coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk NFL playoffs this weekend with our friend Andrew Siciliano on the way. Plus an update on Psycho Mike versus the world's largest gummy bear.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, yummy, funny, lucky gummy bear.
I fear that I may be soon running out of time to play the gummy bear song, so I want to get it in as much as I can.
You think?
First, though, time for an update on our quote-unquote friend, Spencer Pratt.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their
in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
But Spencer, any of that's true.
No, certainly not. You're a blowhard, but aren't you just a reality, a cable reality TV star? You're hardly famous for doing anything.
What?
You're not famous for doing anything. You're just famous for being a reality cable star.
I'm a jiu-jitsu black belt. I train with Brock Lesnar every day.
That's not true.
No.
I kickbox every day.
You're lying.
No man. I'm a Gandhi dancer.
I don't know what that is.
I'm an ice road trucker.
That I know.
I'm an ice hole fisher.
Okay.
I'm Fisher Stevens. Okay. I'm Derek Fisher. All right,
Fisher Stevens.
Spencer, here's what
creator.
Spencer, here's what we want to talk to you about.
I'm a fish scaler.
You and Heidi said that Heidi's album was going to be equal to Thriller.
Yes.
And its importance in the music industry.
We were nice enough to say equal to. We really meant we'd surpass and be better than.
Yeah.
Great hoodie you got there, too, by the way.
Thank you. So then Ralph yesterday reported the first week sales.
I'm Ralph's agent.
You're not.
Just the first, I'd work that in there.
First week sales, 600 and some, 500 and some, I think.
635 copies. Yeah. Not 600. Please understand, not 635 million, not 635,000, which is a doable number for some artists.
Billion.
635. So less than 700 copies. Less than 700 copies.
Trillion.
No, it isn't.
It's trillion.
Less than 700.
Yeah, trillion.
No, less than 700 copies. Total.
In the whole country,
less than 700 people chose to buy your wife's album that you and she put $1.5 million of your own money into because a record label wouldn't even sign her.
The truth is, and this is very hard for me to say, I might tear up.
Total failure on your part?
We took 240 billion copies that we pressed, and we melted them down to help give goods and supplies to Haiti.
Yeah, that's not possible.
What did you melt them into?
That's a good question.
Corrugated tin.
Okay, and then?
And we made roofs.
Right.
Baths.
Nope. Okay.
And
you didn't do any of that.
Spam.
If you don't. You made spam out of that?
Starving and impoverished children.
If you don't mind, I'd like to play a few of Heidi's clips, and then maybe you can tell us why this is such a failure.
Okay.
If you're hungry for pleasure, I could serve you a measure. Leave, serenade me while I'm soaking the crowd. Got my eyes on the ceiling, I'm heavy breathing.
All right, what do you think the problem with that one is?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I played every instrument on that track, and it's genius.
Why do you think no one wanted to buy it?
Well, I think when it comes to my beautiful Aryan queen, Heidi, and to me, the Spence dog, a lot of it's jealousy. And I think it might be for most people.
Who's jealous of
most
you?
Most normal people, and I'm making air quotes. You know, if you're struggling to get by, having trouble paying your bills, and you hear that beautiful music, it just reminds you of the life I'm living out in Malibu, out in Beverly Hills. You know what I'm saying, Chief? And a lot of people can't deal with that because they can't tolerate the fact that I'm balling it up and that Heidi's the best singer on the planet.
Okay,
and she's
I hear what you're saying.
And that talented, naturally, by the way.
No, not naturally. There were 10 plastic surgeries.
Tomato, tomato.
All right.
Spencer, I hear what you're saying, but isn't it possible that they heard it and realized it sucked and maybe that's why they didn't buy it?
Maybe I founded Pinkberry.
Maybe you didn't.
But you didn't found Pinkberry.
Touche.
All right, here's another Heidi song. Let's get together. You can put me in the center of attention. Did I mention that nobody does it better? I got the fire, strike it up like a match. That's like a bad Britney song.
You know what the problem is? What? I think a lot of it is that artistically all the songs are so different sounding.
No, that was exactly the same as the first one.
You know, most albums have a theme, and that this album, every song is totally different. Some songs are
another different song.
Take this song.
So the
one's a reggae song. The one we heard before was
reggae.
Polka.
Nothing
before
like
that, it was a classical piece.
What?
Yeah.
Why did no one want that? The world said no, thank you.
Again, I think it's just jealousy, but you know.
But they go
the
see movie stars that have been making
less money than me.
Millions
less
of
money
oh,
than me.
Please.
It's different when you're talking about the Spence dog. You got to think.
Oh, because
you know,
you've done nothing to earn it. I guess maybe that's where it comes in.
Done nothing to earn it.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the millions of game shows that I came up with?
What?
You didn't come up with any game
shows.
You
haven't invented anything. What are you talking about?
Have you heard the name Merv Griffin?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's
that old dude that invented a lot of game shows.
That was my nom de plume for many years.
Okay, but some of the game shows that he invented were on the air before you were born, Spencer.
Yeah, well.
Your nom de plume died, by the way. For the record.
You better keep better track. They have a hard time. A lot of people are, you know, they don't like war, okay? Not a lot of people.
What does war have to do with anything?
And me with my four Purple Hearts as a decorated veteran.
You haven't been to war.
You've never been in the service at all.
Maybe people come down on me.
All right, here's another
song. Because I'm in a wheelchair. I don't give a damn what they
say. This one's very different.
But I wear diamonds for breakfast, and I know this isn't helping. They say I'm too quick to shout, so call me a bitch.
That's awful.
She's famous and she's rich and she wears diamonds to breakfast. Yeah. Maybe that's why people don't like her.
Let me ask you.
You,
from a woman's point of view, Linda.
Yes.
Lisa.
Do you hate Heidi because she's so beautiful and wears diamonds for breakfast?
I hate Heidi because she's famous for nothing.
What?
And because she actually is superficial.
And because she's with you.
And because she's with you.
So
yeah.
You got three strikes.
Yeah. That's why I hate Heidi.
Let me work on your skin a little bit. I'm an esthetician.
You're not an esthetician.
All right, so let's get back to the point at hand.
Hold on. You stop one second.
Under 700 copies.
What kind of shampoo are you using?
What difference does it make?
Well, I'm Vidal Sassoon.
You're not Vidal Sassoon. I thought you were Merv Griffin. I thought you were Fisher Stevens.
He's none of those.
Who are you?
We're out of time, Spencer. Last question. Answer Kevin's question. Now that we've discussed it, admit that it only sold 635 copies because it sucks. People heard it, they said, no, I don't want it.
The world at large said, no, thank you. You blow. That's the message. Less than 700.
Free Willy.
That's a good point. I don't think you can dance that song, right? It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 22 minutes after 6.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
This is the first weekend in a while where I've seen the films go, wow, we got a bunch.
Great.
We got a few choices.
That's good news.
Depending on your taste.
Usually it's one if you're lucky.
Right. Usually get one gotta-see movie and the rest are don't-want-to-see movies.
Yeah.
This one is, this weekend has one gotta-see movie and a few others, depending on your taste, you're just like, yeah, I think I'd like to check that out. So let's talk about a few.
So Avatar is not going to be number one for the rest of my life?
I don't know about that. That still remains to be seen. But there are some other movies you can go see if you've already seen Avatar. Creation opens in limited release this weekend, starring Paul Bettany, who's got another film opening this weekend we'll talk about in a couple minutes. But in this movie, he co-stars with his lovely and talented wife, Jennifer Connelly. He plays Charles Darwin in this film. That name may be familiar to you because this is the guy who came up with the theory of evolution about how we were descendant from other primates and how we developed and how evolution has created all the animals that we know of today and how they originally began. And yes, I know, it's just a theory. Okay. All right, it's just a theory. Okay. In fact, that's part of the problem. In this movie, as Darwin is developing his theory, he has to balance that with his relationship with his wife, who is very religious.
Ah.
And she believes in creationism. This battle goes back as far as the actual theory itself does.
Who knew?
Yeah. It is, by all accounts, an excellent film. And here is a little clip where a scientist is giving Charles Darwin praise on his initial writings about evolution.
I've read your detailed abstract, and the argument is hugely powerful. Clear evidence of transformation over millions of years from a free-swimming prawn to a shellfish stuck on a rock.
Well, that's my point. You see, you can't be entirely sure of that, and that's why I need more time. I need...
Mr. Darwin, sir.
Yes?
Either you are being disingenuous, or you do not fully understand your own theory. Evidently, what is true of the barnacle is true of all creatures, even humans. Clearly, the Almighty can no longer claim to have authored every species in under a week. You've killed God, sir. You have killed God.
Nice work, Darwin.
We are going into business together, Jess.
Wow. Hey, easy there.
Wow.
Nice work, Darwin.
Mike's in a hurry.
Killed God.
Wow.
That's all. That's all he did.
Just that?
Just changed life as we know it. That's all. Suck it, God. That's what Darwin said. I'm looking forward to seeing that this weekend. Also, this weekend is Extraordinary Measures. Harrison Ford co-stars with Brendan Fraser in a film about the true life story of a couple named John and Aileen Crowley, who had to go to a researcher to develop a cure for a rare genetic disorder that their two children were suffering. There was no known treatment or cure for this disease.
Wow.
So they took upon themselves to do the research and find the leading medical minds in this field and basically funded their research enough to develop a cure for their kids.
Wow. That's impressive.
Pretty compelling story. Usually this kind of stuff is best reserved for TV movies, although this looks like a big A-list exercise with Harrison Ford, who is co-producing as well as starring in this film. He plays the researcher. Brendan Fraser and Kerry Russell, two other likable, talented actors and actresses, are the parents. So I think this might actually work on the big screen if you're looking for a drama this weekend. Here is a scene where Harrison Ford is talking to Brendan Fraser, again, who plays the dad of these two kids, and talks about how they want to go into business together.
You and me are going into business together, Jersey. Excuse me. I'm tired of begging breadcrumbs from the university and giving them the patents to my ideas. Which is why I'm setting up my own shop. Figure any dude in a business suit can help me raise venture capital and run the company, but who's going to be half as motivated as a dad who's trying to save his own kids? And with the right business plan, I can also promise you a working enzyme for Pompe disease. I can't cure your kids, you know that. They're always going to be in wheelchairs, but I think I can save their lives.
Wow, hey, is he boring.
Tone it down there, Harrison Ford.
Seriously.
Stop bombarding us with your energy.
Man, I'm worn out now.
Me too.
He just shouts all the time. Dial it back.
Legion opens this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about.
Paul Bettany stars as the Archangel Michael, who goes against God's orders and decides that human beings are worth saving. Sorry, Michael, I have to side with God on this one. He has lost faith in humankind. Sends legions of angels to bring on the apocalypse, but Michael's the one angel that stands against them. He protects a group of strangers and in a diner, mostly the pregnant waitress whose unborn child is humankind's hope for survival. Paul Bettany, Dennis Quaid, Charles S. Dutton star in this film. Just looks awesome. Doug Jones plays the ice cream man, a creepy dude whose face contorts and he kills you. That's bad.
I don't want the ice cream man to kill you.
You do not want that. Here's a scene from Legion where Archangel Michael, once again played by Paul Bettany, is laying out God's plan to rid this little rock of these pesky humans.
The last time God lost faith in man, he sent a flood. This time he sent what you see outside.
Those things outside are just vessels. They're possessed.
Possessed by what?
By angels.
Hold on. How do you know so much about them?
Because until last night, I was on their side.
Wait, so are you here to protect us?
No, not you. Her.
Why me?
Because your child is the only hope humanity has of surviving.
And because you're very hot.
Is that sure, how to pick? That helps.
That helps.
Was the first girl, are you here to protect us, not hot? Was that the case? The first girl that said, are
not
you here to protect
hot.
Us? And
not
he says,
hot.
Not you.
He's protecting the hottest one. Okay. Yeah, as any good angel would do, he picked the hottest girl out. Right. He's protecting
this reminds me of the Children of Men plotline from a couple years ago, where you have to save that pregnant woman.
Oh, that's right.
Remember, the future of the human race is in her hands, blah, blah, blah.
Well, this time you got ass-kicking angels.
Yeah.
Better. Better than Children of Men.
Better.
Better.
Better weapons?
Better weapons, better everything. I've seen some of this film. I saw it down at Comic-Con last year. I'm telling you something. It is a sight to behold. Talk about special effects and action. You're going to love this film if that's up your alley. And lastly, for people who like really crappy movies, we've got The Tooth Fairy.
Oh. Wow.
It's for kids.
F you.
It's for kids.
F you. I don't care.
It's for kids.
And your kids.
Don't kids deserve a decent movie? Don't they deserve some quality?
Sure.
Why do we have to shovel crap on top of our children? Why do we have to do that as a society?
I'm just saying.
Why do we have to get Dwayne The Rock Johnson in another lame-ass movie where he plays another lame-ass sports star with another lame-ass plot?
But a lot of people have been waiting to see him paired up on the big screen with Julie Andrews, Ralph.
Julie Andrews, Ashley Judd, and The Rock star in Tooth Fairy. He is a minor league hockey player who has knocked out too many teeth.
What?
He has knocked out too many teeth, you heard me. And so he gets punished by having to be the actual Tooth Fairy.
Who does he get punished by, God?
whoever runs the fairy business. I don't know. I really haven't done that much research into this film, Kevin. Okay. I know it's inexplicable that I really haven't delved into this plot that deeply.
Well, when you see it this weekend, though, you can tell us on Monday, right?
So he's got to be the real-life tooth fairy.
Okay.
And he's got to go around collecting kids' teeth and putting money in their pillow.
Okay.
And he learns an important lesson about life and teeth.
Bean, are you saying I'm in?
I'm in.
Yeah, you're joking.
F this movie hard with no lube right where it counts.
So you're looking forward to it?
Here's a scene from The Tooth Fairy.
Sentence begins tomorrow.
No. There's got to be a way to postpone this, like jury duty. I'm sure up here you have fairy duty or whatever it is you have up here. I've got a coach who's breathing down my neck. Who is your supervisor? Who's above you? Gandhi? Who do I talk to? Because I want to file a complaint right now.
You have another assignment.
Another tooth? Are you kidding me?
Sometimes there's a double header.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All you need to know about this movie is the slug line on the poster.
Which is?
You can't handle the tooth.
Yeah.
This movie goes in the file. That's all you need to know. This movie goes into the file.
And would you like to take that back?
That's right.
All right.
You can't handle the tooth is the way they're selling this
that
film.
That is what they say, yeah.
Screw you!
Didn't he used to be the Scorpion King and all sorts of like movies that people liked?
Yeah, but he's done like three or four of these in a row,
yeah.
I think.
Remember he was the football player
who
didn't know
plan,
he had the daughter who showed up on his front door? Yeah, Game
yeah.
Plan. This is now
Witch
his,
Mountain.
This is his
yeah.
little niche now. He makes hilarious kiddie films where he gets to be the big flummoxed guy. Well, flummox you! So my choice for the weekend is Legion, and I hope the angels come and kill Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh,
that's
first.
What I'm hoping. First.
Yeah.
He's the first one to go.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Adam Carolla joins us for The Week in Rage coming up next hour. Comedian Patton Oswalt on the show today and so much more. Also, LaQuisha, by the way, reviewing the season finale of Jersey Shore. I don't know what we're going to do, Kevin, with no Jersey Shore for a couple of months.
I don't either.
But she has been covering it for us all season long, so we're very excited to talk to her. Right now, though, let's turn our attention to our friend Andrew Siciliano. He, of course, ESPN radio personality and all-around sports guru. Always a pleasure to talk to Mr. Siciliano on the phone, on the show. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. When you stop watching Jersey Shore, do your brain cells return? Is there some kind of way that they fly back into your head, maybe through your ears?
No, once they're gone, they're gone.
It's like a stroke. It's a permanent damage. There's no way to recover it. It's just it's a deal with the devil, and you just accept it when you decide to watch the show.
Out into the ether.
Yep.
So much going on. Very exciting time in sports last night. I know a lot of Los Angeles Lakers fans are disappointed this morning, but if the Cavaliers and the Lakers could play every night, basketball would be the highest rated sport in the world.
Yeah,
that game was awesome. I mean, awesome until the end, and Pau Gasol got to the free throw line and treated it like it was Sacramento and missed two more free throws. Kobe after the game, I thought it was interesting, guys. Kobe after the game, I mean, flat out called his team out, not like the normal ribbing. There was some sarcasm, but you know, behind sarcasm, there's always a lot of truth. And when it comes out of his mouth, he's downright angry.
Right.
Which means they're going to the Garden tonight, which means he's going to score 95 on the Knicks this evening.
I hope.
And have to do it all by himself tonight, like he has in the past. But he kind of called out Pau. He called out everybody. He said they're soft. You said the Cavaliers whooped their butt. He said Denver a couple of months ago when they're on the road on that Friday night whooped their butt up and down.
Yeah.
And that physical teams will beat them up, and that they, in essence, are soft. And, you know, for a team with the best record in the NBA, I guess someone has to be criticized, but they were soft last night.
Yeah.
And if they play Cleveland again, they're in trouble.
You make such an excellent point, and one of the reasons Kobe is such a great leader is that he doesn't coast, ever. He doesn't go, well, we're in first place and we've got the best record, so we've got plenty of room to move. You get the impression that Kobe and not all the other players are out there to win literally every single game and play every single minute hard.
No, the thing about last night's game, there was so much on the table. Not to overblow a game, and where are we still? January, I think, right?
Yep.
The Cavaliers beat them here by 25 on Christmas Day. The Cavaliers came in, you guys remember on Christmas Day? I mean, a bunch of spoiled, whiny, rich fans started throwing their foam fingers. It was embarrassing on national TV.
It was. It was horrible.
It was awful. So this was the revenge game. And, you know, they played them close. They had a lead for a lot of the game. But at the end, they simply weren't good enough, and they weren't tough enough. And now if the Cavaliers and the Lakers face each other in the finals, there's a heck of a shot now, because Cleveland, the second half of its season is all home games, whereas the Lakers are going to be on the road
right.
the second half of the season. So, you know, in all likelihood, it is inevitable that Cleveland, even with its injury to Mo Williams yesterday, will now have the better record, which means that games 1 and 2 are in Cleveland and not here.
And then 3, 4, wow. 5 here, and then the yeah. last two there, yeah.
You're so looking ahead.
To Cleveland, everybody.
All right, let's turn our attention to NFL playoffs this weekend. Now, of course, you're the host of the DirecTV Red Zone, which isn't on in the playoffs. Are you doing anything on television regarding football this weekend, Andrew?
I'm staying in bed. If that involves the television, because there's one on the wall, then yes.
Okay.
That's actually my television involvement this week. I am staying in bed and getting coffee.
All right, Lil Wayne is in the news this morning. He, of course, famously from New Orleans. He, however, is not picking the Saints to beat the Vikings. He thinks that Brett Favre and the powerful Vikings defense are going to be too much for Drew Brees and the Saints. Do you agree with Lil Wayne?
I do not, because I agree with the home team, actually. I think it is so – I was going to use the word she, but I don't think anyone uses that these days.
They don't.
It's very hip. No, I don't even know where that word came. Yeah. I don't even know what it means, to be honest with you. But everyone's picking the road teams. Everyone's thinking – well, the Jets, because they have a fat and happy coach and a rookie quarterback that everyone loves, and the Vikings, because they have that old guy, what's his name, Favre, the quarterback.
Sure.
They're the teams to pick because they're the hot and they're the cool teams. Generally speaking, go with the home team at both of these games. And look, if there's a team with a better shot to win, it is clearly the Vikings. Favre could rewrite every single quarterback playoff passing record in one way, shape, or form this weekend. He's that close to all the records, which shows you how long he's been playing.
Is the New Orleans defense good enough to not allow that to happen?
Oh, so the New Orleans defense is good, but it's not as good as it thinks it is. And look at the last 3 weeks of the season. You know, Greg Williams really turned them around. The last 3 weeks of the season, they gave up so many points.
Yeah.
And they just played bad, bad football. I think it comes down to the Minnesota defense here. The Minnesota defense beat up everyone's boyfriend, Tony Romo, last week. They knocked him silly.
Yeah.
They sacked him 6 times. If they get to Drew Brees and they do that, Drew Brees ain't much bigger than me. If they get to Drew Brees and they do that, then the Saints are in trouble. But if you could protect Drew Brees for one extra second, for one extra breath, then I think the Saints win this game.
He's got to be bigger than you.
Yeah, he's bigger than me.
I'm just saying.
Whatever. He's 6 foot. I mean,
all right, I'm just saying.
They say he's 6'1". He's not 6'1". He is 6 foot, and I am not 6 foot.
All right. So let's turn our attention to the AFC. Are the Jets going to continue to be a Cinderella team this weekend, or will they finally run out of speed up against Indianapolis?
I don't know how you bet against Peyton Manning. I mean, the Jets are a great story. They've got this ridiculous coach that doesn't care what he says, and he's fat, and he's happy, and he's angry, and, I mean, he's got, like, barbecue sauce on his shirt.
All the time?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, probably on his pajamas. And then you have a rookie quarterback in Mark Sanchez, who's A, from here, and B, pretty good, and C, ladies love him. I mean, he doesn't make mistakes, at least not yet. You know, in the middle of the season, the Jets were losing specifically because of Mark Sanchez.
Right.
You know, the defense and the running game, they have the number one defense and the number one running game. So you put those two stats together, they're never supposed to lose. But they were losing because Mark Sanchez made stupid mistakes. He's not making them. So if he doesn't make them, then they have a shot.
Is this the first time a rookie quarterback has ever possibly been to the Super Bowl?
No. You had a Joe Flacco last year that came
to the Super
Bowl. And Sean King won a playoff game, believe it or not. I mean, it's been done, and it can be done, and it will be done, and the team around him is good enough to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just not betting against Peyton, guys.
Yeah.
Right. These are both great matchups, though, with the potential to be great games. Of course, you know, we thought some of the games last weekend were going to be great, and we thought Indianapolis-Baltimore was going to be great, and that was a blowout. So there's never any way to tell what happens ahead of time. But on paper, these look like a lot of fun this weekend. Hi, Andrew.
It's 1-2 and 1-5, because the Chargers just, you know, blew
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Chargers are pathetic. I don't know how you give your coach a 3-year extension after you go out and do that.
That was a rough
That
game.
Was a surprise. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Andrew Siciliano, of course, ESPN Radio in Southern California from 11 to 3, and look for him elsewhere. It's always great to catch up with you, man. Have fun watching from the bed this weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Is it stop raining yet?
No.
Not really.
It has not. Adam Carolla in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show because it's Friday. Ralph, you'll appreciate this, what we learned last hour. Remember when Kevin was getting all those tickets for not having the front license plate on his car?
Yes.
Remember, he lost his front license plate, and we kept asking him, how do you lose your license plate? He's right. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what happened. Well, he found it yesterday.
Oh, great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where was it?
Under my bed.
Kevin, you want
to... It was under my bed.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Under my bed. It was under my bed.
I don't know. Your front license plate under your bed.
I must have.
Wow. Is there any circumstance where you could imagine where that would be possible to have happen?
Of course not. I don't know.
Was it covered in strawberry ice cream?
Probably.
Yeah. I want to know.
Anyway, so that mystery has been solved, but has created an even deeper mystery, so I don't know what to do with that. All right. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday. What the hell's going on?
Speaking of cars, you know, as a little experiment, I wanted to test out Dave, the King of Mexico's theory this morning.
Oh.
So I drove to work.
Don't get us started on that again.
Without using my windshield wipers.
Right. Right.
And here in Southern California, it's been raining for about a week steady.
Right.
Straight. And it was coming down at a pretty medium amount on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
And in about 30 seconds, I realized my life was in danger. I was going to die if I continued this stupid practice.
And everyone else's life. I tried it too.
Yes.
A couple days ago.
And the King of Mexico says you don't need to use your windshield wipers.
Right.
Ever. It's stupid. Don't use them. They're pointless.
You can see better, he says, without using them.
You can actually see better.
To which I realized this morning is nothing has been more false than that statement.
It's just 100% not true.
They wouldn't have invented windshield wipers if you could see fine without them.
But then he said yesterday, I meant to say don't use them when the sun is up, though.
That's too bright.
It's too bright.
And we said, what are you talking about?
Because the glare then comes down and it goes through, you know, the little rain.
The little things, the little rain things.
Raindrops on your windshield? Yes, that.
but do it at night, because then it's better.
So it was dark this morning, and naturally I was driving to work, so I said, here's the perfect chance to test it out. I almost killed myself.
Yeah, just wrong in every way.
Can't work on any level for 30 seconds, tops. Need it to have those windshield wipers going.
Yeah, it turns out.
It annoys me to have to wipe every so often. It's just annoying, so I'd rather not.
Talking about his ass there or his windshield?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Tonight, lot of TV landmarks going on. You want to check out, of course, the Haiti Relief Telethon. It is happening tonight on almost all the major networks. You pretty much won't be able to avoid it. In fact, new music from Bono and the Edge. They'll be performing a new song that they've written along with Jay-Z called Stranded. That'll happen tonight during the London portion of the telethon.
Are they going to perform together? Did you say they wrote it together?
Bono and the Edge wrote it, and they'll be performing it along with Jay-Z.
Oh, fantastic.
They may have written it with him, too. It's kind of a...
That'd be cool.
The wording in the story is tricky, so I'm not quite sure whether they've written it together or will just be performing it together. But anyway, you'll check that out. Rihanna will also be from that leg of the telethon. Beyonce and Madonna have also been added as performers on tonight's show. Beyonce out of London with Jay-Z and Madonna out of New York City. So, once again, George Clooney hosts in the American leg, and you'll be able to see it all over your television.
Is Kanye West on it?
I don't know if
Please tell me yes.
He's going to be there.
Not invited.
Ah. Remember last
Wisely.
Time, last time he said, George Bush doesn't like black people.
Conan O'Brien also making TV news tonight. He will do his last tonight show. If you want to check that out, Tom Hanks and Will Ferrell will be his guests before he leaves to go on a vacation that will pay him $33 million.
Ginger kids, children with red hair, light skin, and freckles. They creep us out and make us feel sick to our stomachs.
Yeah. They have no souls.
They don't have souls.
That's what I hear.
Rob Lowe is leaving ABC's Brothers and Sisters.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Sorry, Lisa.
Apparently, he said he is really tired of being on a show that does not exist.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Which I can imagine. If you're an actor, you probably want to be on a show that actually exists.
Sure. People can watch it.
Like He's been on there for four seasons. Can you be Brothers and Sisters?
What?
Been on for four seasons?
No.
Yeah. He played Robert McAllister on the drama, and now he's moving on.
I've never even accidentally come across it. Like, just to prove to myself that it's real, I've never actually seen a commercial for it or anything.
It's an hour-long show. It's on every week with Calista Flockhart and Sally Field, Rob Lowe.
Is it on a
Rachel
Channel
Griffin?
56? Is
no,
it on
it's
some
on
kind
ABC.
of...
What's What's wrong with you people?
The ABC that we know?
Yes.
It's on Channel 56. It's on KDOC.
How do we not?
It's
because you
by
do.
The poor man.
You do stumble across these well, shows all the time.
I think it is on at like 10, exist. So you don't
For
generally
years,
probably stumble
somehow,
across shows at 10 p.m.
How about that?
I'm like Houdini. I've been somehow escaping this show. It's incredible.
Oh, you people. Yeah.
More celebrities stepping up to help out with the Haiti Relief Fund. I think it's always nice to see. Remember Amy Fisher?
Yes.
Yeah. She was the she was the Long Island Lolita. She was the woman who is the girl rather who's having an affair with Joey Buttafuoco.
Yeah. Right.
And so she went and shot his wife, Mary Jo, in the face.
That happened.
Because she was a disgruntled mistress.
Mm-hmm.
Did some time in prison. Now she's got a lucrative porn career.
Is it lucrative?
Yeah, she's doing pretty well for herself. She is performing special strip shows tonight and tomorrow.
All right.
And plans to donate all the proceeds to the Haitian Earthquake Relief Fund. So
that's nice.
That is nice.
I'd like to see more of that.
Everyone is giving. Everyone is giving. And here's good news on the DVD front. Kevin, I know you don't like old things.
Right. I just don't have time to keep up with things that are current. So who's got time to go back and...
But there's a movie called Rock and Roll High School starring the Ramones.
Yeah.
That has never been released on DVD. And so it is being released on DVD and Blu-ray, finally, on both formats. It'll be out later this year. They've just announced. So you can check that out. Also on
is
DVD.
Is Rodney in it?
I believe he is.
Yeah,
I think he is.
I think Richard Blade is in it, too. Former DJ that we all know and love.
And also, just a couple years after Elvis Presley died, the first Elvis Presley biopic was made on television, starring Kurt Russell as Elvis. And it is one of the most amazing performances you'll ever see.
Really?
Yes, but it has never been released on DVD. And they just announced that that also will be released on DVD in March, so you can check that
out. Wow. That was kind of Kurt Russell's big break, right? That's what kind of made him famous.
It took him from child star to adult actor, yeah.
Right,
that was
right.
The big deal. He made it with John Carpenter, directed the movie, the Elvis biopic, and then they went on to do, of course, Escape from New York and all those movies together, The Thing and all that stuff afterwards. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Perry from Journey is 61 years old today. You know who used to play bass for Journey?
No. He wasn't a singer?
No. Do you know who used to play bass for Journey?
Oh, do I know
Journey?
Who? No.
Randy Jackson from American Idol.
Oh, that's right. I did hear that.
He was the bass player for Journey.
Yeah.
He used to have a big, high-top fade haircut and leather pants.
Like Kid and Play?
Kid and Play. Yeah, it was awesome. Linda Blair from The Exorcist is 51. Former Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler is 46 years old. Actress Diane Lane is 45. Jazzy Jeff. DJ Jazzy Jeff.
What?
He is probably the lesser-known partner of the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff. Don't you think he's probably a little less?
Well, now that Will Smith has gone
on. Like by a hair, right?
Just a little bit. Yeah. It's neck and neck, but I think Will Smith maybe is a little bit more famous. I think, though, Smith takes care of him, though, doesn't he?
I think so.
Aren't they, like, partners in some production company or something, apparently?
They still work together.
He throws Jazzy a bone now and then, which is nice. Throwing Jazzy a bone, by the way. So Dave the King of Mexico was just talking about the other day.
That's correct.
Yeah.
What's up?
He is 45. Balthazar Getty is 35 years old today. And singer Willa Ford celebrates her 29th birthday. Yeah, indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. An update on Psycho Mike versus the world's largest gummy bear coming up later this hour. Right now, though, our friend Adam Carolla is on the phone. Of course, the star of the Adam Carolla podcast, one of the most popular in the world. And you can see Adam live on stage at the Hollywood Improv January 30th with him and his funny friends. Tickets are on sale now. If you want to see the podcast recorded live again, go to adamcarolla.com for details. Hey, Ace, how are you, man?
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on. Adam stops by every Friday for a little feature we like to call The Week in Rage.
It's time for this week
in Rage.
Well, I'm going to start with three. I'll work my way down to number one. Number three, gum commercials. I feel like they overpromise and underdeliver a little bit. You've seen gum commercials? I was watching TV last night, 10 o'clock at night, and it was like, what's it like to bite into a piece of Eclipse Winter Eruption? And then they show some hot chick jumping off a glacier into some cool blue water and swimming with penguins and dolphins.
Yeah.
And then just a huge volcano of ice coming. I've bitten into a lot of gum, and I never stop and go, holy crap, what has just gone on in my mouth? And if that's what it was really like, if you popped a piece in when you were driving, wouldn't you just go off the road?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, mean, when did they start making these wild claims? What happened just to remember the Doublemint twins?
Yes.
Like, hey, you want some gum? Here's some hot blood. Watch them ride a bicycle for a while.
They do make it sound like an orgasm is probable if you eat their gum.
You are going to have a glacier shoved up your butt now.
That's not good.
It's going to be awesome. And there's like an explosion and hot chicks dancing around.
Yeah.
When did the bar get raised so high? And when did we fall in love with ice? You know what I mean? I want a little peppermint flavor. That's about it. Here's what I like. My breath doesn't smell like ass.
Right.
That's all I want.
That's it. You don't need everything else.
How about a gum commercial with a guy I want? You know what'll happen when you bite into Arctic winter explosion? Your breath won't smell like ass anymore.
There you go.
I don't need models jumping off glaciers.
All right.
Somebody's got to sue these people.
For what? For false advertising?
Well, what if there was another product that said, hey, you buy this Honda Excel and you'll definitely be banging supermodels within the week.
That's true.
You'd sue them, right?
Yeah.
All right. Number two, the Swift Water Rescue. I've been watching the news, and we got these guys stationed at every port now. The fire department, ironically, these are the guys who have to sit in a Zodiac boat and then wait for the idiots who fell into the L.A. River.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's always like the same story. Well, you know, it was pouring, so I decided to get a 12-pack and go lean up against the edge of the river. What? So there's either that dude, just a dude who was like watching his spit fall into the river off the bridge.
Right.
Fell in drunk, or then there's the guy who's got the Ziffy board and the hockey helmet, and he's going for broke. He's going to see if it'll spit him out at the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah,
matter of fact, instead of buy a bus ticket to get to Santa Monica, he'll just jump in an inner tube in Van Nuys and make it out there. All I'm saying is this is just God taking out the garbage. Should we really be spending thousands of dollars fishing these guys out of the drink just so they could have some kids they don't take care of?
Well, I think the point is the government doesn't want to stand back and just watch people drown, Adam. I think that's what's going on here.
I'm just saying, if you're one of the guys who's working on the Swift Water Rescue Team and you pull up in that Zodiac boat, have a couple of questions before you pull the guy into the boat. You know, just
like
with the bullhorn, you know? Hey, are you some young kid who fell off his bicycle? Or are you just playing grab ass?
So what's your story? They need to ask him as they go down.
I'm just saying, I need a couple of the right answers before the guy gets into the Zodiac.
I'm down with that.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, how's he going to learn? And number one, my dog Molly's had a little surgery. She's okay. But my wife got her one of these beds. It is doggy beds. It must have cost $250. It's like fleece lined and it's suede and it's padded and it comes up on the side. I mean, if they made a human version of this, I would never get out of it. It's the greatest, most comfortable looking thing in the world. You take it down, you set it up, you get it all set up because Molly's coming home from the vet today. Let's get the doggy bed all set up. You put the toys in the doggy bed. You put it in the corner by the heater vent. You do the whole thing. The dog walks in, lays down right next to it.
Oh, no.
You can't get a dog to be comfortable. You can't. And then you go like, come on, Molly, wouldn't you be more comfortable in the bed? And the dog's like, I'm cool here. And then you're like, get in the goddamn bed. Like, I'm comfortable. And the next thing you know, I was like, hold Molly down. I'll get her in a headlock. I'll drag her into the bed. And you start rolling her into the bed. She lays in the bed. And then she rolls out. And you can't find her. She's lying on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
There's like a towel and a tampon and it's cold and you're like, would you get in the stupid fleece-lined bed I spent $250 for? No, not. And by the way, they know what they're doing. They're not going to give you the satisfaction. No way are they going to give you the satisfaction of getting in a goddamn $250 bed, which, by the way, has zero resale value.
Oh, sure.
There's no market
right.
for used dog beds.
No, that's true.
No.
It's yours.
No.
Yeah, you've been owned by Molly. There's no question about that. Be sure to keep up with the Adam Carolla podcast. They're on iTunes, of course. You can go to adamcarolla.com to play or download. And don't miss the special live on-stage appearance with Adam and his friends at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are on sale now. Ace, have a great weekend, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Love you, Drew and Ralph, I think, will be on stage.
Oh, fantastic. So, all right. Thank you, Adam.
That's to look forward to.
Hey, party people. It's Kevin and Bean Show. One of our favorite guests, Patton Oswalt, joins us next hour in studio. We have not talked
really at all about the weather that has been going through Southern California for the past week, because we have listeners all over the country, most of whom don't care.
And have it worse.
For instance, where I live, it's been sunny in the 60s for a week.
Really?
So what do I care? What do I care if you're underwater, right?
F you is what I say.
It has been, I mean, a once-in-a-lifetime storm for people in Southern California. I saw in the news yesterday that the valley, Kevin, where you live, the San Fernando Valley, mm-hmm. has received over 4 inches of rain since Sunday.
Yes,
I mean,
it's unbelievable for us.
That's crazy weather, right?
It is, yeah. And now they're evacuating people.
Yeah.
They're demanding that people evacuate. It's not a, mandatory is what they call it. It's not a question. They're going door to door to tell people you need to go because I guess the mudslides
in the burn areas
are what they're afraid of.
Yeah.
That's right. So, and as you can imagine, anywhere in the world where people are told, hey, you have to get out, doesn't matter whether it's earthquake, flood, drought, whatever it is, people always say, their reaction is always, nope, I'm going to ride it out.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
They so are 70, always those people.
75% of the people that they've told it's a mandatory evacuation, evacuate. 25%, 1 in 4, don't.
Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of times it's because they want to protect their stuff. They're afraid if they leave, then they're not going to be able to be there to, you know, prevent further damage to their home in the event of somebody breaks in.
How are they
going to
do that if there's a mudslide? Oh, somebody breaks in, I can see that.
I don't know. But the man who does know, because he's out there on the front lines, is the mayor of the great city of Los Angeles. And we are very excited to welcome Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, it's going down, man.
It's pretty serious. You haven't really had to deal with a weather emergency since you've been in office.
Yeah, well, I'm taking control, man. I'm out here. I mean, La Cañada. You know what that is?
I saw yesterday you were out there surveying the damage.
Yeah, I'm going door to door right now.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the fire department.
Now, listen, I'm not about to let people handle my business. You need someone to do the job, you got to do it right. You got to do it yourself. It's a man's job.
All right.
Actually, hold on, okay? Listen to me. Okay, come out. Come out. Hey, you.
Who's there?
It's me, the mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa.
What's your name?
Yeah, what's up, man? Hey, listen. There's a lot of mud and stuff coming, man. You got to leave. You got to get out of your house right now.
I am not leaving. I've lived here 10 years. I'm sure going to be fine.
Listen to me. You got to leave right now.
I'm not leaving.
Okay.
Whoa!
What did you do?
What happened?
Next house.
Wait, what?
You
can't just shoot somebody for not leaving their house.
Hey, life is for the living. I warned him. Okay?
You didn't say you were going to shoot him.
All right.
Come on.
You got to give a heads up if you're going to shoot him if they don't go.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. It's me, Antonio Villaraigosa. I'm the mayor.
Hey, mayor.
Listen.
Come on.
First off, tell your house guest Omar to shut up. Really, Omar, you gotta leave, man. There's a lot of the mudslides are coming, the flooding. You gotta get out of here, man.
No way, man. This is my house. No,
listen to me.
I'm not leaving.
Look at me in the eyes. This is going to be like a war zone's coming pretty soon. You gotta get out for your own safety.
Just a little mud, man. Just a little mud.
Okay.
What are you doing?
You can't do that.
Although I have to give Dave credit for a pretty good death scream.
You gotta follow me for personally. This is going to turn into a war zone. It's going down in La Cañada. You gotta get up. Okay.
Got a bullhorn. All right.
Hello?
A lot of work for you.
Hey, come out.
I can't believe you have people to do this, Mr. Mayor.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the mayor.
Hey, what? Get out.
There's some flooding going on, and
really? I hadn't noticed.
It's mandatory under city ordinance that you let me in and
no, evacuate.
And we discussed this further in your bedroom.
Okay.
Wait, I thought you were trying to
Mr. Mayor.
I thought you were trying to get her to leave.
Hey guys, I gotta go.
Wait, but what happened to the evacuation? I thought it was the fun. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Funny Man Patton Oswalt in minutes. First, though, time for an update on our own Psycho Mike attempting to eat the world's largest gummy bear.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, tummy, funny, lucky gummy bear. I'm a jelly bear.
How did the world's largest gummy bear get on our radar? How did we even find out that this exists, much less start talking about Psycho Mike trying to eat it?
I think it was a listener email. I think somebody tipped us off to it. And said, hey,
yeah,
this is the world's largest gummy bear. You got to check this out. 5 pounds. And we were standing there looking at it. And Mike said, like he does with everything, I could eat that. No problem.
Yep.
No problem.
Well, Mike's whole thing is domination. This is the thing you need to know about Mike. It just happens to be food we're talking about. It could have been a woman. It could have been a mountain. It doesn't matter what it is that's in front of him. Mike somehow believes that he needs to own it.
So then we went to the site to see about it, and there was a commercial on the site.
Introducing the world's largest gummy bear. Seriously. The world's largest gummy bear happens to be 5 pounds of your favorite gummy bear flavor.
Doesn't it sound like a skit on South Park?
It sounds fake. It does.
It just sounds way fake.
This mammoth beast is 5.5 inches wide, 3.5 inches deep, and 9 inches tall.
All right, so we had a long conversation about Mike, and Mike kept saying, oh, no problem. Not even a problem. And Mike's the one who... He watches what he eats very closely, too closely for the rest of us.
Right.
Well, Mike told us yesterday that it's about 12,000 calories, which is what he consumes in 6 days. Mike's a 2,000 calorie a day guy. I'm a 2,000 calorie an hour guy, by the way, so you're very different in that respect. But, I mean, the fact that he could eat that and he doesn't think he would have any problem eating that with, you know, with as tight as his constitution is, I'm very surprised by that. I still don't understand why he thinks it'd be so easy for him.
Here's what he said about it.
My digestive system's going to rape it.
That's what he said.
I seriously firmly believe that I could eat that all in one sitting.
Right.
In the allotted time that you guys gave.
It's mind over matter, right?
But yeah, I mean,
that's just power through.
It's totally.
And your money on your mind, though.
Which he does with his workouts and stuff.
File.
Yep.
Come on, file.
But here's the thing. I knew it was going to suck. I knew I would probably get sick halfway through, but I felt like I could power through it either way. Now.
Mike's used to throwing up. For some reason, he throws up a lot.
It doesn't bother him that much.
And, more than the rest of us.
And if I didn't, I knew it would be hysterical either way. You know, it would be great content no matter what. That's the way I looked at it.
Did you give any thought, and I didn't even mention this yesterday, but did you give any thought to the weeks of rainbow poo that would follow that experiment?
Yeah, I was excited.
I saw rainbow poo last night at the Troub, by the way. They were great. So then we took some phone calls and some people who had done, you know, sort of the same stuff.
I took a bet to eat a very large piece of German chocolate cake. The cumulative effect of having that much sugar is ridiculous. Like the first 3/4 of it I was able to eat without any problem.
Right.
But the last 15 or so bites were just miserable. I was shaking. I was crying.
Oh, my God.
Right, so that happened. And then we took a call from a dude in the Army who said that he ate 5 pounds of gummy bears. No problem.
I was at a Army training school, and we were just doing a lot of physical exercise, and I love gummy bears, and I was craving something with a lot of calories, so I had somebody go buy me some gummy bears, and they came back with a 5-pound bag.
And you just ate the whole thing just for fun, just because you wanted it?
I needed it. I was starving, and I just ate it.
All right.
I was fine.
It was fine.
He ate the whole amount, 5 pounds.
5 pounds, same thing.
So we're laughing and we're joking around. We're talking about how funny it is. And then for some reason, I don't know how this happened, some dark cloud appears overhead. And then a nurse calls in and she says, oh, there's a lot of danger. He might go into shock. This will happen and that'll happen. So then Alex, our producer, who's in the studio with us, she has the bright idea. Hey, let's call our friend Dr. Mo. He's the chief of surgery at the hospital in Long Beach, right? He's a medical professional.
Right.
This is a guy who knows. And he says, Mike's going to be fine, but here are some things that I would look out for. And he started talking about maybe putting him on an IV for some fluids and, you know, maybe having some insulin on hand and just take the vital signs. And I'm thinking at this point, he's not wrestling a bear, right? I mean, he's just eating a piece of candy.
Right. But then we said, Dr. Mo, can you come in and supervise? He said, yes. Now, producer Alex.
Hello.
When did everything go south?
What happened? Because it sounds like we had a plan.
What was the first sniff of badness that you got?
Screw you guys. My day yesterday sucked. The first sniff of badness was, did you know attorneys don't have a sense of humor?
Really?
And they literally read the poll that Dave the King of Mexico put up on KROQ.com.
The one where he said he'll polish it off?
Yeah. Would he finish it? Would he not finish it? Or would he die? Ha ha ha. The attorneys thought that we literally meant Mike was going to die eating the gummy bear and wrote an email, fired off an email to our suits.
Saying from New York?
Our bosses. Yeah. Saying, this is very serious. If Mike could die from a gummy bear, we can't do this.
Okay, hold on.
If Mike could die from a gummy bear.
This happened yesterday, by the way.
Because Dave knows. Yeah.
Hold on one sec. So the King of Mexico goes to KevinAmin.com. He puts up a poll because we're discussing Mike eating the world's largest gummy bear.
Right.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Right. Yes, I'm a gummy bear.
So the choices are he's going to finish it because he's Mike and he dominates, or he's not because he's weak sauce, or he's going to die, which was obviously the comedy answer. So you're telling me that attorneys, people in suits in New York City, were on the website and thought that Mike really might die from eating it?
Correct. And then there
was... No one's ever died from eating a gummy bear?
Dude.
Do you have that information, Bean?
Yeah.
Do you know that for a fact?
There could be
yes, I do.
A 1% chance that he might die.
Now, they weren't listening. They just saw the poll. No. That was it?
Right. So then I thought stupidly, well, I'll just get on the phone.
And explain it to
And explain
them.
To them, sorry, that was just our sarcasm. Clearly he's not going to die. We have a doctor on hand. Oh, no, no. They don't even care about Dr. Mo. They don't care that he's been certified for a million years and he could save lives in the battlefield. Nope. I literally read an email that said, we are concerned about the lasting effects of the gummy bear. Do you know the lasting effects of the gummy bear?
Red poo.
CBS What's students it? Are more concerned for Mike's own life than his mother.
Yeah, his mother was fine with it.
She's like, acting like Mike is this precious life we have to save.
No, okay, first of all, I'm ready to die, so don't worry about that.
Mike's disposable, and he'd be doing us all a favor, okay, yeah. if we lost him. But second of all, the dude, look, this isn't The Biggest Loser where we're taking a 700-pound guy and making him run a marathon. Mike is 30. He's in the best shape of his life. He knows more about nutrition than anybody. He's confident that he would have no problem eating 5 pounds of candy.
And right.
Because of the image of the gummy bear, and it's so massive. And
it's awesome.
Yeah.
When it came in the mail, Dave and I were just doing the happy dance all over the office. We were so thrilled.
I carried it around like a newborn baby.
People are like freaking out because it's just like it's so overwhelming to look at. But honestly, 75% of kids in America.
They thoroughly believe that you would eat all the 5 pounds. I kept saying, you're assuming this is that, you know, he finishes it. He's not even going to finish.
I think he would finish.
I know I would.
Just because he can make up his mind to do that.
But the best part is when the conversation started to turn and they quickly just gave up on even figuring out if they want to do it and started to give me programming ideas for the show.
Wait, they gave you a comedy alternative?
No. First of all, they said no. Yeah. They said, no, you can't do it under any circumstance.
Correct.
Right? And so our heads were exploding. We were like, what? We can't even do it?
Are you weak?
But with the doctor here and everything, don't care. Can't do it. Can't risk it. Can't do it.
Did they?
What happened to the webcam? We were going to webcam it on Monday.
That was going
to
happen.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, nope. Man. Can't happen. Under any circumstances, no.
And then they said, hey, Alex.
This is the lawyers now
in
New York.
Why don't you do a funny bit where you create a character of a suit that you talk to about how attorneys aren't fun and we don't have a sense of humor. Like he can call into the show. And then
we're going, okay, all right, that's a great idea.
You know, management is no fun. And then one of them said to me, I know, why don't you put the gummy bear on the website like they're in lawyer jail and you could do a bit about lawyer jail with the gummy bear.
No, that's what they suggested.
That's what they suggested.
No. I'm on a conference call with people and I'm trying not to laugh.
That's what they suggested.
I'm fired. It's over. So I just had to exhale and go.
They suggested that we put the gummy bear in lawyer jail.
Lawyer jail.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's a good thing I wasn't on the phone because then I would have said, I'm going to give you some legal advice. Yeah. How about that? I'm going to tell you what to do.
We all know what happens to gentlemen in jail. And if we put this gummy bear in lawyer jail, I'm willing to do that and maybe film that for KevinandBean.com.
I don't know that anyone wants to see that. If you don't mind, I think we'd rather not. So the final answer is no and lawyer jail.
Hey, can you eat a 4-pound gummy bear?
Dude.
3 pounds?
How much gummy bear is too much gummy bear?
I don't know.
There has to be a point.
See, but here's the fact that Alex said earlier that you guys are missing. Lawyers, no sense of humor. They don't find 3 pounds interesting or funny. They don't. They just go, no. So Bean wants to get on the phone with them and say, how about one gummy bear? How about one regular-sized gummy bear? Is that okay? To try and find their limit. You know, right. Then 5 and 10.
Because clearly there's a line at which they're not comfortable with Mike eating that much gummy bear. I want to know what that line is because they just say no out of habit. They haven't thought this through. Look, before you start emailing, I know that it was a terrible, tragic situation a couple years ago when that woman drank all that water and died. Well, this is eating a piece of candy. This isn't trying to drink 4 gallons of water, okay?
They were medically advised not to do that contest.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, and they did it anyway. So if Dr. Mo had said, don't do this contest, Mike's going to be seriously ill, we wouldn't have done it. We're not those dumbasses.
Those of you that don't know the story, there was somebody who drank too much water and died. It was a radio contest, blah, 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 blah. And that's why our lawyers are afraid, because since that happened,
they think we're that dumb.
But A is not B. That's what I'm saying. Drinking 4 gallons of water is not eating a gummy bear.
But what
it's
the lawyers
not.
Are saying is that A is B.
Yeah.
So you can argue that point all you want, but they don't care.
But then I can't play the gummy bear song anymore if we don't do the bear.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, tummy, funny, lucky gummy bear.
All right. Put would have been lawyer jail.
Can we stream me eating the world's smallest gummy bear?
Try and find like a little tiny one?
We still have to eat it.
Millimeter by millimeter gummy bear.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:54.
How about Patton Oswalt coming in next on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Yes.
How about this show will suddenly get funny in about 10 minutes,
best
huh?
He's Woo-hoo. So good.
He's so good. Looking forward to Patton stopping by. He's got a lot of things going on, including Caprica, Ralph, which I know you're very excited about. So
yes,
that's
the prequel
on the way.
To Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm.
And this shows how it got to the beginning of
it. I know Patton is a huge geek like myself for things science fiction and comic book, mm-hmm. and he must be out of his mind being on one of the great science fiction shows ever. So.
Yeah. That's pretty
Very
cool.
Exciting. All right, time for the showbiz beat first. Ralph is here. What's going on?
Hey, Kevin, what was that?
That was a wrong clip.
That was all my fault.
That was Mike.
All right.
That was the Week in Rage, which
that
we already did.
Oh, did that.
Yeah. That's taking care of.
Here's what I'm angry about.
Dumb commercials.
Yeah.
All right.
Do it.
Showbiz beat.
Before I get to the showbiz beat, I want to give you a heads up. If you'd like to see Will Ferrell and Friends, they are doing a one night only comedy cavalcade that is a non-profit fundraiser for Pete Carroll's non-profit charity organization, A Better LA. Now, F Pete Carroll, because he's leaving USC and he's leaving Los Angeles. He's going to crappy Seattle.
Right.
But apparently his charity still does some good work, so we'll allow them to raise some money for that charity. It is one night, as I mentioned, the February the 20th will be the date. It's going to happen at the Nokia Theater in Los Angeles. And here's your lineup. You got Will Ferrell, Tenacious D, which is Jack Black, of course, and Kyle Gass.
Love.
Dimitri Martin, Aubrey Plaza, Rob Riggle, Nick Swarsden, Tim Heidecker, and Eric Wareheim from Tim and Eric's Awesome Show.
Love it.
Yeah, Eric's is great. So if you'd like to go, here's kind of a cool reason I bring this up today. If you buy your tickets today for this event, today only, if you buy one, you get one free.
Oh, that's cool.
So you get two for the price of one.
So you raise less money for charity?
No. But here's the thing. All of the proceeds from today's ticket sales are going to be siphoned off for the Haitian Earthquake Relief Fund.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So today's ticket sales only will, all the money will go to the Haitian Relief Fund. And you get a two-for-one deal on tickets.
Okay.
So it's really, if you're going to go to this show, today would be the day to buy the tickets, which is the reason I bring it up almost a month in advance. So if you want to go, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. And once again, it's called Make It Better is the name of the show. So you can check it out with Will Ferrell and friends. But it's worthwhile. And like I said, if you're going to go, today would be the day, because then the Haitians get some relief, much needed, and you get a deal on tickets. So
Fantastic.
It all works out. The Lilith Fair is back.
Oh, God damn it.
No, thank you.
That's right. Break out the patchouli and the Birkenstocks, ladies, because Lilith Fair, once again, is rearing its ugly head.
Yeah?
Its unshaven leg. It's rearing its unshaven leg.
It's been gone so long, there may be some listeners, Ralph, who don't even know what the Lilith Fair is.
All right, let me tell you about the Lilith Fair, kids. Gather around Uncle Ralph here. We'll tell you about the Lilith Fair. Lilith Fair was the brainchild of a singer-songwriter named Sarah McLachlan. And she put together an all-female lineup, which pretty much was an answer to the testosterone-filled male rock festivals of the era. Your Ozfests and your Lollapaloozas and those kind of things. This was an all-female, a pro-feminine, pro-feminist female-a-palooza full of estrogen and patchouli and Birkenstocks and hairy legs and armpits, and it was very crunchy granola, good time had by all.
You make it sound good.
For the Indigo Girl crowd, it was very popular.
Joan Osborne, Liz Phair, they had all those kinds of bands on the bill. But it's been a number of years, I think, and that's why I guess it's a big deal that it's
back.
It was
called Les Fest at one time.
I don't think so.
And then they changed it to Lilith Fair, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they ever called it Les Fest.
Lesapalooza?
I don't think so.
Was that one of the names at one time?
I don't think Les was in the title ever. I don't think. I could be wrong.
Sapphorific?
I don't think so.
Sappho Fest?
I don't believe so.
2010?
You just went with Lilith Fair.
I don't know what that means. But
all I know is there used to be flocks of seagulls circling over the fairgrounds wherever it played. That's all I know.
The flock of seagulls. Even any women in the flock of seagulls. Come on.
No, actual seagulls would circle over the fairgrounds looking for whatever the bay
we
had backed up into. That's all I know.
We got it.
Anyway, so it's back, and here's your lineup. Nora Jones, Hart. Ooh. Oh, how are they going to build a stage large enough to hold Ann Wilson? That's what I want to know. Loretta Lynn, that should be a good time. They'll wheel her out.
How old is she? She was old.
408 years old.
She was old when I was born.
This week.
She's got to be around 70.
Gossip, Cat Power, Kesha, Mary J. Blige, Sheryl Crow, and if you buy tickets now, you can get a bullet just to put right in your head.
I don't think they're offering that either.
They should. Listen to that lineup.
That's a good lineup for some people.
Oh, bite me.
I'm just saying there's some pretty big names on the bill. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, it's going to be in 15 cities so far. More dates are going to be added. Joy. So New York, Los Angeles, Vancouver, Toronto, Chicago, and the island of Sapphire apparently has been added as a date.
That's part of it.
Check it out. Yeah, I think y'all might like this.
So I just want to give you a heads up. Nicolas Cage wants you to know he's all squared away with the IRS.
Mm.
Well, because that was fast.
Did an interview with the New York Post, and, I didn't say his tab has been cleared yet, but they've come to an agreement, Nick and the IRS.
Oh, I see.
Oh, meaning that he has some more time.
So they won't put him in jail.
He's not going to jail.
Got it.
They've sat down and had a powwow, and apparently everything's everything. He said he's got a new business manager. His affairs are current now up to 2009. All his tax situations are in line. And he only owes the IRS a paltry $14 million in back taxes.
Oh, my God! Wow.
Dude. That's all he needs.
That's it?
That's all he owes.
Just $14 million?
Look, for Nick Cage, that's like a movie.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking is that would kill most of us. But he literally can go out and work for 3 months and make that money.
So that's a pretty good deal for him, considering I think it was like $200 million at one point.
Oh, I didn't know it was anything like that.
Yeah, it was like 4 years worth of taxes and arrears and stuff, and it was all kinds of penalties. So
why would somebody that high profile not pay taxes? I mean,
it was his business manager. Apparently, he had a shady business manager who made a bunch of questionable financial moves, and one of which apparently was all kinds of inappropriate deductions and things on his taxes that came back to bite him in the ass. So anyway, he wants you to know it's all good.
He's better than Bean.
That's right.
He's got a better situation than Bean. He's being audited right now.
And he wants you to know that he thinks Nicolas Cage's Everybody is a Genius website. They asked Nick Cage what he thinks of that website where people Photoshop the face of Nicolas Cage onto all kinds of celebrities.
Right.
And he said he has seen it and he thinks it's awesome.
All right.
He's very honored, he says. Which I can understand.
Yeah.
If they put my face on anybody, I'd be happy with it. real quick, TV notes tonight. The final Conan O'Brien. You want to check that out at 11:35 on NBC. You can say goodbye to Conan as host of The Tonight Show. And, of course, the telethon to raise money for Haiti. Give what you can because they're really in a bad way over there. So you can check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Willa Ford, a very talented singer. She's smoking hot, too. She's 29 years old today. I wonder if she'll be on the Lollapalooza tour.
I don't think that's the name of it.
Balthazar Getty's 35 years old today. DJ Jazzy Jeff is 45. Do we have any Jazzy?
We don't.
Did we get ourselves any Jazzy?
We don't have Jazzy.
No, we didn't have any Jazzy.
No, sorry.
Smell you later. Diane Lane is 45 years old today.
Yeah.
No. You're just thinking about, you're just picturing it.
I was going to launch a Diane Lane thing, but I don't think I have time. I'll save it for the next hour. Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler is 46 years old. Linda Blair, who of course famously was Reagan, the president of the United States.
I think that was her character name in The Exorcist.
That's what that means.
Little girl throwing up.
51 years old today, and Steve Perry from Journey is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the
Hi, this is Patton Oswalt. I gotta start working out or just making up creepy excuses so no one bothers me again. Like, you know, I absorbed a twin in the womb. There's nothing I can do, man. He's like, if I did crunches, his face would show through. This is a guy, he's on the King of the Queen.
Gotta be a dad now.
Now.
I am a walking terrible example. That's all I am.
You'll have no incentive to do anything.
She's my fat ass. Well, you got on TV. Who gives a shit?
Especially now, I'm on the borderland of B-word fat, which is, that's the kind of fat where people can tell that you're fat if they just hear you talking. They don't need to see you. And if you say words that start with B, you just give it away. Or you can be on the phone going, I bought the bracelet. And I bought it at Haley Bankston Gitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt.
He's got movies out, movies coming out, TV shows on, Grammy nomination, and now he's heading to Broadway. Is there nothing this man can't do? Ladies and gentlemen, Patton Oswalt right here on the Kevin Bean Show.
What's happening?
And in 2011, I plan to touch my toes. That's my next goal.
Very How are you now considered popular? What the hell's going on, Patton?
I don't – man, I've stopped questioning that so long ago. If I thought about that, I wouldn't sleep.
But you've been funny for a long time, and now all of a sudden – Broadway.
Yeah. That's very weird. I don't know how it happened. I seem to be getting away with it. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they have me – what if they have me confused with – Philip Seymour Hoffman. And, hey, if I'll ride it as long as I can.
When you show up, they're going to go, you're here for...
Yeah, exactly.
and then they're too embarrassed to tell you that they were confused, so they just give you the role.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That, like, I come in, they think I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman's driver. I know all the lines.
Now, are you going to sing?
We can't tell. No, thank God. It's not a musical.
That'd be awesome.
It's sort of a comedic drama by this terrific playwright named Terrence McNally, and it's a...
He's great.
But yeah. Let me just back up. You're Patton Oswalt.
I know.
Funny as hell comedian.
Yes.
Broadway.
Yeah, it's sort of like...
Those are non sequiturs. Those don't fit.
it feels like hiring like Yahoo Sirius to be an EMT, or is it like, wait a minute, really? We're going that?
Good reference.
It's a good reference.
Yahoo Sirius, yeah. All the 51-year-olds in the audience. I saw that film.
I remember
The Young Einstein. I think he's an Australian fella.
Now, how are you on their radar? Did they mention to you that there was a particular movie role or television role they saw you in that they thought, hey, that'd be a good guy for our stage production?
I have no – again, I still don't know. I mean, I've been told the story of how I got the Pixar movie, but it sounds so odd that, again, I just don't – I don't think too deeply about –
That's where you did the Ratatouille voice.
Yes.
And what was that one?
Brad Bird was driving around one night and was listening to some radio station that was playing – my album or a cut from it, and mm-hmm. he said, yeah, that voice. I want that guy.
Wow.
That's right. And he tracked me down, and he said that he made a pencil test of the rat doing this bit of mine, literally performing the bit so he could show it to the Disney people, and the Disney people's reaction was, is he going to be cursing like that in our movie? He sounds like a wino that a bunch of kids have been throwing pebbles at. Right? So he doesn't – I don't know if he's right for our movie. He goes, no, he's going to read our dialogue.
Besides stand-up, have you ever done any stage work before?
Little walk-on things in high school plays where, you know, literally walk-on, hark, the cannons roar, stuff like that. I can't imagine being on stage.
But in April – you're going to be on Broadway.
I'll be on Broadway. Yeah,
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's not going to happen.
You know what? It's weird.
I don't have any info, but I'm just going to say no.
Do you think he's going to get there and they're going to go, we're sorry.
We got to replace you.
Yeah.
We're going to
with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Between now and then.
Do you have Dane Cook's cell phone? Because we didn't realize how out of shape you were. We got to get someone hot. Yes, on one hand, I'm very, very excited. On the other hand, it is very scary.
I'd be scared out of my mind.
It's really scary. But here's the one good thing about doing a Broadway play. It's that I never thought, especially at my age, because I'm really calcified in how I write, how I do stand-up, how I act. This is one thing I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
So it's something I can go into, and I have to be totally blank and listen to a director and say, I guess this is how you do it, because I don't have any preconceived notions. I in other words, I can't go into this and go, well, that's not how I do it.
Right.
Because I've never done it.
Right, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I may as well have gotten a job as a lumberjack.
That's what I'm saying.
And go, that's not how I top pine trees. That's not how I do it. Nah, that's not how I do it. I don't use that. Go ahead.
Are you any good at memorizing dialogue?
Repeat the question. What was it?
Are you any good at memorizing dialogue? When you show up on a movie, you only have to know a page. But when you show up for the play, you got to know the whole thing.
I got to know 2 hours. We're going to find out. We're going to find out.
I like that. I like that. We don't have any idea what's going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, we did a table read, and the table read went really well. That my co-stars are all amazing. So maybe I can just kind of hide behind their brilliance.
Well, who's in it? You know,
Megan Mullally. Who is amazing.
She's
very
talented, a lot of actress. Stage work, right?
Amazing. Yeah. She does a lot of stage work and really knows the ins and outs. And then Lily Taylor.
Oh my gosh!
Fantastic.
Okay. Well,
you'd recognize her if you saw her. That is. Okay.
Oh yeah, you. She's been in everything. She was in everything cool in the 90s.
Yeah.
And she was on 6 Feet Under. She was fantastic.
Oh, I love
in that
show.
She was in one of my favorite vampire movies of all time. This movie called The Addiction, and she is so fantastic.
Don't
in
know that movie.
This little low budget. It was made by Abel Ferrara, and it's her. And I think Harvey Keitel's penis, or that's another movie.
That's
and, yeah.
That's the band that played that on the soundtrack.
Yes, and then Christopher Walken. And she is so fantastic in that movie.
Yeah. Good times.
You've gotten two vampire movie tips in 2 days,
Kevin.
I'm
excited about that. Well, I love vampire movies.
All right. Broadway star Patton Oswalt is here. When we come back, we need to discuss so many things. You are a Broadway star. That's true.
Oh, good.
Nothing that's we can do about it.
We need Nathan to discuss Lane now.
We need to discuss the
Hello,
Caprica.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, Bean. And on my watch says it's time for a show.
We need to discuss Caprica, which is on the Sci-Fi Channel finally tonight. We'll talk about the upcoming Grammys that Patton is nominated for, movie Big Fan, which is out on DVD, and so much more with Patton Oswalt right after this on The Kevin and Bean. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Patton Oswalt is in our studio right now with many things going on. Patton, are you a big enough star to be on the Haiti charity benefit tonight with George Clooney and friends?
No, they have not asked me to. I'm not Spencer Pratt level, guys. Let's calm down.
I'm not sure they're looking for comedians either.
No, exactly. For that, come out there and
for that particular show.
Hey guys, I mean, so it's been really sad, but look, dating crazy. Isn't am I right? What's going on?
Tonight may not be about the yucks. I guess you make a really good point there, Pat. Where do we start with you? Let's talk about the Grammys because they're coming up before you know it. January 31st on CBS. That's a week from Sunday, I believe. You are nominated for Best Comedy Album against some very tough competition. Now I know. Yeah. Kathy Griffin has been lobbying hard to win a Grammy. I know that she wants it very, very badly.
Oh, has she?
Do you is this a big deal for you? How do you lobby?
She does that on – she's been doing it on her show.
Oh, she's a fierce campaigner. So,
yeah. She is, very much so.
Yeah. I did a little bit of press. Of course I'd love to win a Grammy, but, you know, there are very good people in my category.
Well, you're up against Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap.
And Weird Al.
And Weird Al.
And I got to tell you, you know how much we love you. Bean loves Weird Al more. So,
you know what?
Weird Al is my favorite person in the world.
I love Weird Al. That guy, especially the album he put out, The Internet Leaks, which is he just released it himself over iTunes and the internet and then put the album together. I like that, the spirit of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're
saying here that he should win?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm flat out saying Weird Al should win.
All right.
Yeah, good.
All right. Well, good luck.
He's a strict vegan, and you've seen him. How healthy he looks. He's 87 years old.
So
this is his last round, really,
right,
with the Grammys.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Yeah, he's
87. Do you get to go to the Grammys then, right? As a nominee, I would imagine.
Yeah,
right?
I get to go to the Grammys, but it was funny. I was just in the office and I gave they sent me the invite and it's the most convoluted. I can't understand. Do they want me at the ceremony, or are they going to sneak me in through a loading dock? And the comedy guys, like, we're down in a subterranean cafeteria, and they just hand out. I can't
figure out.
There's
a lot of Grammys that aren't on the actual
show. Oh, yeah. There's
show.
A huge list of
most,
them.
Most are not most on the telecast. Yeah. So are you on that one? Or
I can't because
you don't
one
know.
Of the, I got three letters, and one said, your award will be presented during the telecast, and the other one said, please pick up your tickets 2 days before and go to this location.
A different place.
Earlier. Yeah, so yeah. I can't figure out what's going on.
Sometimes they just scroll it across or they say earlier tonight.
Yeah, earlier tonight. Yeah. There's another friend of mine, this writer, Harlan Ellison, who's like I'm a huge fan of, he's nominated for a Grammy this year for Best Spoken Word Children's Album, and he is going up against Nelson Mandela. So
I don't feel
so bad going up against Kathy Griffin and Stephen Colbert.
How do you go against Nelson Mandela?
You
don't.
I'm going to campaign against that guy. Take him down.
Guy sucks.
For my reading, yeah.
You got a new DVD in stores now.
Yes.
Big fan.
Big fan.
That's not what I'm saying to you. It's the name of
no,
the
movie.
That's the name of it.
Name of the movie.
Yeah.
I remember you telling us the movie, and I'm sad to say I did not take your advice and go see it in theaters, so I do get a second chance. Apparently, my understanding is that this role is the most like the real Patton Oswalt. That's what I've heard.
Is that true?
Wow. If that were true, I would have committed suicide. I've been grimaced. It's kind of frustrating because the way they did the DVD cover and had nothing, me and the director were also bummed out. I don't know who picked this cover image, but it looks like the cover image has nothing to do with the movie. It makes it look like I'm this – someone said it makes it look like this is a coach for a peewee football league who somehow saves the day. But it's
what?
This – yeah, you'll see the image like this has nothing to do with the movie.
How does that happen? That's so weird.
Some I don't know, someone making a dumb decision, yeah. and none of us. When we saw it, we were so bummed out. And there have actually been some reviews on iTunes going, I saw it. The poster looked like there's no sports action in the movie. It's about an obsessed New York Giants fan, and it's this very dark, comedic kind of descent into insanity.
Right.
With what I think, I didn't write it, but the ending is really amazing. But the way the cover makes it look like it's a happy guy enjoying sports.
A lot of people are going to be disappointed then.
And it's, yeah, exactly.
If that's the case.
Yeah. It'd be like having the cover image of Taxi Driver, and it's like Albert Brooks arguing with Sybil Shepherd. People go, this is going to be great. And then they watch and go, it's just a guy killing people and watching pornos. What the hell? You know, so it's don't let the cover image
right.
fool you.
Big Fan is the name of it. It's in stores now. We need to take another quick break. When we come back, we need to talk about.
How dare you?
We need to talk about Caprica.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which you're on.
Oh, I thought that was the skin disease I had.
No,
yes,
no.
The show Caprica.
On Sci-Fi, yes.
Other than also, Caprica is a serious ailment that you should also look into. It's a different. I'll tell you about it later.
You got your own benefit going up against the Haiti benefit tonight.
Yeah,
for Caprica?
I'm going to crush the Haiti benefit. I'm doing a benefit for.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
I hope they win.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. All this week, we've been giving away tickets for you to go see Coachella in the desert. It's coming up in April. Congratulations to Sonia Krasnow, who just chose night number two with Muse headlining. Tickets go on sale. What? Huh?
He just said, "Oh."
Oh, yes. Oh, Muse is awesome. Yeah. Tickets go on sale in about an hour and 20 minutes from right now if you want to buy your tickets for the 3-day pass for Coachella. Our friend Patton Oswalt is in the studio right now with a bunch of stuff going on. By the way, you have to stick around, Patton, because Ralph has a showbiz beat coming up. And then LaQuisha will be reviewing the finale of last night's Jersey Shore. And I understand that you're on board with the Jersey Shore as the rest of America is, right?
Yeah, I'm on board as the old – basically, I'm America's befuddled old grandfather that is angry and confused. What is this? Why are these horrible people yelling on my television?
They're good questions.
What is happening?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not good, but for some reason you got to watch.
Yeah, it is. It does feel – again, it – well, I'll wait till LaQuisha calls because
okay.
I can't. I'll save it because good God in heaven.
All right, let's talk about Caprica.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. It's on tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
And this is the first one, right?
This is the first one. Well, there was the two-hour movie, but this is the one that kind of sets up how – it's actually kind of genius what Ronald D. Moore did with the prequel and that it's – you know, it's the rise of the Cylons and it's – they're this amazing benefit and you can see how people – cannot see the danger in this.
Right.
Just like it's like a lot of the things that we've, when we initially got it, like, this is awesome. This will always be great. And people couldn't see, project 10 years down the road that, oh no, this is going to be horrible.
This is going to be bad for us.
Right. This is going to be terrible.
Right.
Yeah, so
Caprica is set quite a bit of time ahead of Battlestar Galactica, right?
Actually, quite a bit of time before.
Yeah, it's set ahead of Battlestar Galactica. It's like 50 years before Battlestar Galactica.
Oh,
ends,
yes.
Right?
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Never mind. Yes. But, right.
Now, you're a huge sci-fi fan. You yes. and you and Caprica must be exciting.
Yeah.
You walk it onto the set and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I got to go to – you know, they flew me up to Vancouver, and I was just hanging out on the set. There's guys, like, unpacking actual Cylons.
Which was, like, pretty cool.
They would open a box, and there'd be a Cylon. Like, I'd be on my lunch break, and these guys would haul a box in. And open up, and indeed, there was a Cylon sitting there. I was like,
that's
oh,
weird.
This is the kind of Hollywood I always wanted to be in, where you're just on your lunch break, and you know, a guy in a stormtrooper costume walks by.
Sure.
And, hey, Patton, how you doing? How's the chowder today? You know, like, it was so great.
Now, did they? Did you? You know, send up signals? Hey, I'm a huge Battlestar fan. How about hooking me up for Caprica? Or did they come to you? Or how did it work?
They came to me. Although, you know, me and other friends of mine had been talking in the press. I mean, Battlestar Galactica was one of the best shows I
so
thought
too.
Of the aughts.
Yeah. I think so,
and,
too.
You know, when I get interviewed about what are your favorite shows, it was always like The Wire, Battlestar Galactica, Breaking Bad, and Friday Night Lights. Like, those were the...
And Jersey Shore.
Four, and, yeah. Well, yeah, Jersey Shore, which I'm still... It just takes so long to get into that. It's like... That's like The Wire plus, the intricacies.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
So many layers.
So when he...
Yeah, the
when
subtext
he called
of Jersey
her
Shore.
A slut, but earlier... She was like, she goes, I'm a super slut before passing out in the hot tub. So is that a weird dichotomy or it's brilliant. But yeah, I guess they heard of me and brought me in.
That's cool.
I basically play.
Are you on tonight?
I don't know. I mean, they shot all this stuff because I play kind of like the Glenn Beck / John Stewart of Caprica.
Oh, really? I see. So you've got a you're a TV talk show host?
I'm like a TV talk show host that kind of starts attacking the two main characters, the two scientific rivals, and that kind of – I mean, what's great is that it's one of those it's that kind of great science fiction where they go, yeah, it's this whole other world, but even other worlds would have their disposable entertainments,
right.
And what would that look like? It's like when you watch RoboCop or read Dark Knight Returns, the media is a character.
Right.
And it does – people have to go, well, I got to go on this show and answer to this guy, or why are they making these jokes? It's hurting our bottom line. Like, that stuff actually affects things.
Right, right. Interesting.
Although it's amazing. It would be weird if there was a guy like that in the Star Wars universe. Like, see what this Darth Vader guy did today?
Yeah, it would be weird. He's out of control.
Yeah, blew up Alderaan. Hello. There goes my timeshare. All right. We'll be right back with Han Solo. This guy's a nut. You're going to want to see him.
2-hour premiere tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel at 9 o'clock. Let's talk for just a second about Jay Leno and Conan.
Okay.
Because you've been on the Conan show more than any, right?
Yeah.
Big friend of his, big fan.
Big friend, very.
He's super hosed, right, Pat? I mean, that's the bottom line. He got super hosed, right?
This subject makes me so angry and tired at the same time. I don't understand. I don't get it. This is a level of showbiz and a level of showbiz thinking that I am not. I just don't understand it. I don't understand.
They might as well be speaking a different language.
Yeah, it is like watching a different culture. I don't understand the decisions being made. None of them make sense. They're not supportable by any kind of logic. Whether you're a Leno fan or a Conan fan, this makes absolutely no sense.
Everyone loses. Totally, that's why.
Absolutely, everybody loses. Everyone, Leno, Conan. NBC.
Sense from the beginning when they put Leno on at 10:30, or is it the decisions that they've made since then?
I don't know how far back the good or bad decisions go. What I'm seeing now, I don't know why Leno would be excited about this. I don't know why NBC would be excited about this. I don't know why you would look at Conan's track record. You know, he had this show. And it was this slow, steady, unstoppable build in quality and popularity, and then they give him 7 months, as compared to they gave Leno 18 months to turn his show around, and he did. Well, give Conan 18. What's the problem?
But the problem is 10 o'clock ratings, I think. I think that was the confusing factor, is that the 10 o'clock ratings for Leno were so bad.
See, I'm at this point now. Again, any comedian that tells you that they hate Leno is, in a way, they're kind of lying, because it's not that comedians hate Leno. It's that we're so confused and disappointed because he's such a brilliant comedian.
He used to be a great stand-up.
I will actually argue that he was not only used to be a great stand-up, he still is. Whenever you see him guest on a show, when he was on Real Time with Bill Maher last season, when he goes on Charlie Rose, he is the sharpest, fastest, funniest mind still out there. But he goes on The Tonight Show and consciously turns it off, which I don't understand why you would do that.
Because he thinks he's, playing to Middle America?
I don't know, but Middle America would totally respond to the old Jay Leno, the feisty, oh my God, what's he going to say? When he would guest on Letterman, that was an event. Like, all my community, we got a Leno's on. Yeah. It's going to be amazing. But now I think it's this point where he just wants the Tonight Show. And if he wants it that badly, and if he's willing to have it under these conditions, then he should have it. Because Conan is this well of creativity. He's going to leave the Tonight Show. He's going to do a dozen other things.
Right.
He's clearly going to do more creative, and he understands. I mean, you look at his show, the writers that he picks and the bits that he picks. He is so jazzed by, I'm going to keep digging and pushing the envelope. So maybe in a very weird way, him losing the Tonight Show is we're watching the birth of he's going to create something that no one can conceive of right now. We can't see, all people can see is, oh, the guy lost the Tonight Show. It's like, no, he's going to do something. Even, you know, it's like when Scorsese would get fired from his early studio movies that he would do,
because
they're like, what are you doing? And then he's like, all right, I got to do my own stuff. And then
right,
they created this
good
whole other thing. Yeah. So maybe it's hard for me to feel sorry or angry for Conan, just knowing who he is and how creative he is and
right.
how just – he's not going to bounce back from this. He's going to bounce back in like six different ways.
I hear a lot of angst in your voice. It sounds like you've spent a lot of time thinking about this, and it's very upsetting to you, Patton, well, as a guy who's a fan of television and comedy.
I'm a fan of these talk shows. I think that the medium, just like the medium of sitcoms, can be done creatively and brilliantly. It's not what the thing is about. It's how it's about it. So you can take what people think of as this. Well, I mean, look at a show like The Wire. Well, it's a cop show. I mean, at its base, it's a cop show. But they did this whole other thing with it. Battlestar Galactica was a remake of one of the worst shows on TV, and Ronald D. Miller made it one of the best shows on TV. So it has nothing to do with what the form is. The form can be made brilliant.
No matter what it is.
So, I mean, it just – but I guess what makes me angsty – I remember when Arrested Development got canceled and that me and a lot of my writer friends got really depressed because to us subconsciously, it was the signal of, see this really brilliant, groundbreaking thing? We don't want this. So as a writer and comedian, you're going, well, then why am I there are a couple of days where you're like, why am I bothering them?
Right, if that's not
what they want. But again, I think this will pass because, you know, I think Conan and his writers, they're going to find something brilliant to do. But initially, there is this overall feeling of, don't do this. We don't want this creative stuff from you. And it makes you kind of go, well, why am I – what's the point?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what? I should just go to Broadway. Yeah, I think that this summer is going to be all comedians on Broadway.
That's everyone's answer.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
As a tribute to your friend Conan O'Brien,
I think Carrot Top's doing Equus. So we're very excited.
Please bring the masturbating bear out on stage with you at some point during the run of your play at Broadway.
That
if you would
be
that part. That would be the greatest thing ever. All right, a quick break. Patton is going to stick around. He'll help out with Ralph in the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman, have you met young comedian Patton Oswalt sitting in the studio with us here?
One of my comedy heroes, Patton Oswalt.
Well, knock, knock. Go ahead. I'm ready.
Who's there?
All right, do the show.
Right, we'll work on that. All right.
Patton, who, by the way, just named Friday Night Lights as one of his five favorite shows on television, Ralph. So I'd like you to keep that in mind the next time you're berating me for trying to get people to watch it because it's so awesome, okay?
It is so amazing. You haven't watched
so
it?
It's so great.
No. He hates it.
Oh, my God.
He won't even watch it and he hates it.
No.
Here's what
amazing. It is so amazing.
Here's what
that
I'm going to say.
That show is so amazing.
I'm going to say Bean is wrong, but Patton is right.
Is that awesome?
I
don't know why or how.
I mean, you have to, like, enter a code to watch that show, and then you have to, like, talk to someone in the Pentagon.
Don't.
You have to, like,
meet a guy in a van.
You're inventing urban myths to scare people away from the best show on TV.
You have to, like, download some puzzle or something, and then there's, like, it's like Get Smart. You have to go behind 17 doors.
Besides, they make
it hard to watch.
Besides the Patton Oswalt episodes of Caprica, Friday Night Lights is the best show on television.
All right.
Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton, I can't believe they haven't gotten Emmy nominations.
Yeah. They don't even get nominated. It's crazy, right?
They are the new Gandolfini and Falco as far as like watching actors in playing a married couple where you feel like you're watching a documentary. Yeah.
Do you know why they haven't been nominated?
Because they're not on television.
The nominators cannot find that show.
That's right. You have to be on television in order to get an Emmy.
It's too much of a puzzle.
I think you have to capture a leprechaun,
right?
Answer three of his riddles, then you get a gold key, you exchange it for three red gems, give one of the gems to the wrestler, the Undertaker, and then he gives you that week's episode.
That's how you get it. It couldn't be easier.
Look, too difficult.
There's an actor at the Two Roads Theater in Studio City, California, who hasn't won a Tony yet either. I don't know why that's not the case.
Let's move on with other showbiz happenings. What's going on, Ralph?
All right. Heard you guys talking about Jersey Shore, which, of course, had its finale last night.
Sure.
But you might be interested to know they just released the list of how much each of the Jersey Shore cast members earns per nightclub appearance. That's how they make money now.
Oh, that's how they make their money?
Yeah. Sammy, the sweetheart, Giancola, makes $3,000 for each appearance.
Wow.
Yeah, but he really lights up a night, though.
That's a girl, you know what I mean? Sammy.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Sammy much thing. Better than Friday Night Lights.
When
by
I
the
meant
way.
He, I was referring to
Ronnie, her boyfriend,
yes,
probably.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Vinny gets $3,500. Mike, the situation.
How did they work out the extra $500? That's what I'm wondering. Like, where did the extra $500
get in there? Great question.
Yeah.
They pay them in blow. The extra $500 is just like an eight ball.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good.
Mike, the situation, gets $7,500 per night when he shows up at a club.
Wow.
Yeah. And apparently, Snooki, Nicole Snooki Polizzi,
She earns about 10 grand per appearance at a nightclub.
But she has. But you're allowed to punch her.
That's right. They set up a booth. It's like a state fair.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Take your best shot.
I am given a half of a tuna fish sandwich and a Pez dispenser full of a flavor of my choice for every nightclub appearance.
That's your rider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got my manager had to work out the flavor of my choice. That was like an extra week.
Because he used to be pineapple every time.
Pineapple every time.
Hard ball. Yeah.
Ruff, what is, forgive me, Snooki is an ignorant slut, right? What does she do for $10,000 at a nightclub? Just stand around or sign autographs or sing? Or does she have a stage show? What is she bringing?
She just a piss stage show.
No, it's just
she fills
she does
the air.
Her tribute to Liza.
Yeah, she fills the air with the scent of sandalwood. And then what she does is, and it's like a competition, you discuss any Joseph Conrad novel with her, and if you can summarize it better than her, she has to buy you a shot, and she has not lost yet.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
Wow,
but that's I'm gonna challenge her on Nostromo next Friday at the Spider Club, and I think I can take her.
Maybe your strongest one.
Pretty excited.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who don't deserve things, Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs apparently is going all out for his son Justin's 16th birthday. Mm. He is putting on a concert in his honor. 16 years old, mind you. Snoop Dogg, Lil Kim, Jay-Z, and Beyonce will all be performing at his birthday party.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll be happening. That's going to be happening.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
That's this weekend in Manhattan, in case you didn't get your invite yet.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, that Shakey's pizza you got me for my 16th? Screw you. You're a horrible father.
Where do you go when you're 16 years old and that's your 16th birthday party?
Yeah.
You have to go to heroin by the time you're 21. You're
And then Vaseline Alley.
Highs are harder to
it's
come by.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Exactly. I'm continuing with a theme here of people who don't deserve stuff. Yeah. Jessica Simpson. Is not a good actress or a good singer.
Right.
What?
But apparently she's got a knack for something. Her clothing line, which is handbags and shoes and whatnot. She's just adding a line of jeans, by the way, apparently this year.
Okay.
Just take a guess what her clothing line nets her a year.
Whatever it is, it's going to hurt because it's too much, right?
Yeah.
A million? 2 million?
You have no idea.
10 million?
$450 million.
No.
So
wait, I'm sorry. What?
Her clothing line has netted her $450 million.
Hang on. I'm sorry. That, I just heard an angel being raped. I just heard an angel get raped. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Wow. $450 million is what she got?
Well, that's what it's earned. That's what's in sales. I don't know what her cut of that is.
But it's a lot.
But it's significant.
Wow.
Man.
In sales, she's
sold
$450 million worth of product.
Except for no one want to dress like me.
Yeah, I'm releasing my clothing line. It's called Day Sweats.
Sweatpants
that chubby guys can just wear just for errands, stuff like that. And that nets me half a tuna sandwich and a Pez dispenser with the flavor of my choice.
Your choice.
That's crazy. Because in my mind, she's a failure.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson has failed at everything she's ever attempted. Now to hear that she's some sort of a business mogul just kind of blows my mind.
Her clothing design business apparently is
wildly
successful.
She doesn't design them, though.
No, of course not.
I can't imagine.
Just slap her name on it.
Put your name on it.
I can't imagine.
What's she coming up with, really?
And hey, good work, Malaysian orphans. Putting those together.
Those kids,
good work.
Those kids really have a gift.
Good, strong seam work there.
I also wanted to mention, we talked about the charity event that Will Ferrell is having in February on the 20th.
Yes.
If you go to Ticketmaster to buy tickets for the Make It Better charity event, which is Tenacious D and Will and a bunch of other very funny people.
Hacks.
It's a 2-for-1 ticket deal today. If you buy a ticket, you get one free, and all the proceeds from today's sales go to Haitian earthquake relief. People have been going and trying to buy all morning long.
Yeah.
The deal doesn't start till 10 a.m. That's why people have been frustrated with it. So I want to give them the heads up.
That's an insane lineup, by the way.
It is, yeah.
That is a crazy good lineup.
Dimitri Martin. Yeah, it's going to be a good lineup.
Yeah.
They don't like you, apparently. You were not invited. But
Will and I, you know.
Falling
bad
out? Blood?
A lot of bad blood.
Yeah. Since he wanted the Tonight Show back from him. That all happened. Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Perry.
Yeah.
From Journey.
Woo!
The wheels on his chair keep on turning. He's 61 years old today.
Replaced by a Vietnamese kid from YouTube, right?
Yeah, Filipino. A Filipino kid, I think.
Filipino, right.
Filipino yeah. sound-alike nice. Is now the lead singer for Journey.
Really?
He's they not found him on YouTube.
Awesome.
The band saw him singing Steve Perry, just like Steve Perry, on YouTube and hired him.
So he's doing an impression of? He yes. sounds just like him?
He sounds awesome. Just like him. He doesn't speak much English.
I love that.
But he sings his ass off.
More Filipino Perry's. Sweatshop labor taking jobs from hardworking Americans.
He,
I don't like it.
He's great on Don't like Stop it. Bereaving, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, Lord. I didn't go that far.
Yeah. Wow, way to chill the room. Nice yeah. work. Linda Blair, who Ooh. Was Reagan in Exorcist. Oh, little
big
kid.
70s and 80s crush for me.
Yeah. Remember Boogie Town USA, her roller skating
roller
movie?
Boogie.
Roller Boogie.
Roller That's Boogie. Yeah. Savage Street.
Oh.
Amazing bathtub
Born
scene
Innocent.
Born in this, well, that's horrible. She gets like a broom handle.
Yes, yeah, she does. Upper. That's right.
No, I didn't like that. No.
Oh, yeah.
Hell Night.
Hell Night. Yeah.
Delicious cleavage in Hell Night.
Yeah. I yeah. don't know any of these references.
Really
None.
Cute in a movie called Night Patrol.
None of them.
Night Zero. Patrol. That's right. Yeah.
Super cute.
Yeah.
Still Zero. Super cute.
Zero she for is. She runs she, a an animal yeah. charity now.
She's a yeah. She's a hardcore kick-ass vegan, and yeah. she. Defends pit bulls.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
You know a lot about Linda Blair.
I tell you, man.
Maybe more she's than she's serious. Comfortable with.
Too bad, Linda. Happy birthday.
She's 51 years old today.
Happy birthday. I'll see you out in your driveway.
Former Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler is 46 years old today. Speaking of crushes, Diane Lane celebrates her 45th birthday today.
Oh, good Lord in heaven.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I saw a movie with her last week called Fierce People. With her and Donald Sutherland.
Never heard of
it. Never heard of it before. Oh. Stumbled across it on the on cable. It's a recent film. Yeah. Anton Yelchin is in it, and Kristen Stewart from Twilight.
Hmm.
Fascinating, great cast.
And a Yelchin Lane movie, and I missed it?
Yelchin Lane, yes. Which used to be my old DJ name, by the way, Yelchin Lane. So check it out, Fierce People, if you can find it, or Netflix it. She's 45 years old today. DJ Jazzy Jeff, half of the French Prince and... Is the French Prince?
I think no, it's not French.
Prince, probably. 45 years
the
old
French
today.
French Prince.
Balthazar Getty is 35, and singer Willa Ford celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, a very sad Friday all across America, because MTV's Jersey Shore had its season finale last night. I didn't see it, but LaQuisha, one of our favorite Kevin and Bean listeners, is on the line. She has been keeping us up to date with Jersey Shore all season long. LaQuisha, you hanging in there all right today, darling?
You didn't see it.
I'm
you
sorry.
You didn't watch the finale last night?
I think he probably was happy you watched it.
What's wrong with you, Bean?
Did I miss something great?
What were you doing that was so important you could not watch the finale and, by the way, the reunion show that followed?
A reunion show for people who hadn't seen each other in 30 minutes? What's the point of that?
Well, you know, it was last summer when they all did this.
Oh, I see. And then they did the reunion show recently?
Yeah, right after last night's finale.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Very exciting.
I'll bet it was.
Well, at the end of last week's episode, you may remember that Ronnie was taken to jail because he sucker punched that guy and knocked him out.
That's right, yeah.
That's right.
So he's still in jail when we pick up this week's episode. And Sammy, his girlfriend, and Snooki are trying to figure out what to do and who to call to try to get him bailed out.
What number should we call? I don't understand.
I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before.
Should I call 911?
Don't call 911. I think that's an emergency.
Yeah, I think that may be for emergencies, but I don't know.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
At this rate, Ronnie may never get out of jail if they can't figure out how to get him.
They called 911.
Well, Ronnie gets bailed out, and the next morning, he feels pretty bad about his time inside the Seaside Heights jail. And he is very retrospective about his whole life.
I feel like a lowlife for going to jail, and I don't belong there. I was in there, and that's definitely not a scene where I want to be ever again. It's not the kind of person I am.
Well, it is actually the kind of person you are, because you punched a guy and knocked him unconscious in the street.
And then said, act cool. Everybody act cool.
Right. And then tried to run.
Right.
So that you belong in jail. Don't get that mistake made.
Right.
And you are a lowlife. Okay. They got that said.
All right.
Now, JWoww, who is the girl with the giant fake boobs, who are constantly touching and playing with them.
Right, adjusting, uh-huh. yeah.
Pushing them up uh-huh. and straightening them out. She got some crooked boobs or something, because she's always kind of straightening them out.
She's got a lot of work to do that way.
And she's got a boyfriend back at home, so she doesn't fool around at the shore.
Ah.
Much. Wink, wink.
Much.
And she's working on the T-shirt store on the boardwalk where they work, and she sees all these weird, freaky, muscly guys walking down the boardwalk. It just looked disgusting. As you can hear, she is disgusted.
I see a bunch of, like, gorilla juice heads, tall, completely jacked, steroid, like, multiple growth hormone. That's, like, the type that I'm attracted to.
What?
Of course it is.
What? You just described some sort of laboratory accident freak show.
Yeah.
Shut up, J-Wow.
That's her taste.
So she got to grab Snooki immediately and say, oh, we got to go out there on the beach because all the juice heads are out there today. And so for more clarification on what a juice head is, here's Snooki.
A juice head is a hot Italian tan guy, typically muscly, and loves working out, you know, looking buff and brawly.
Buff and brawly.
Yeah.
I think a juice head is a dumb white girl when if you squeeze her head, juice would come running out of her ears. Because she ain't got no brain.
By the way, I like that tan was so early in her discussion. That
and
really,
Italian, that's, too, by the way.
That's most important.
So it's the end of the summer. It's Labor Day weekend, and everyone is getting ready to close up shop. It's the end of their time together, and everybody's hooking up, trying to get the last bit of sex in before the end of the summer.
Sure.
And Snooki's out on the prowl, but she can't find nobody. She's looking around at all these different guys, trying to come on to them, and nothing's happening. And then she runs into her ex-boyfriend. And she is still got feelings for this boy, and it really rattles her cage. And I can't tell her not from this next clip, but I don't know whether she thinks it's cool or not cool that she ran into him.
No, that's not cool. 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 Last person I want to see is my ex. No, that's not cool.
What's she saying?
Is it cool or not cool? I think it's cool. Then, Paulie D starts to get all philosophical because his time is running out on the Shore House. They all got to leave. And he's looking back over his relationship with Vinny and the situation, and he realizes that these other guys have come very close to him.
We stayed boys throughout this whole thing. This bond that we share brings us together, and no one can ever take that away from us, ever. Like, we take that with us for life, that bond. That was deep.
Yeah, that was deep.
That was deep, yeah.
That was. That. Thank you, Deepak Chopra. Thank you for all that philosophy you taught us by saying you got friends you're going to keep for a while.
Yeah.
Shut up, Paulie D. Well, like I said, it's the end of the summer. Everybody's looking for the last remnants of cheap sex they can get. And it turns out that Snooki can't find none. And the situation can't find none. And, yes, you know where this is going.
Yeah.
They end up drunk in a hot tub together.
Oh, no.
And one thing lead to another.
Snooks was looking to have a good time in the jacuzzi. You know, next thing you know, Snooks' clothes just started coming off.
Well, then put them back on. Don't forget some help and put them back on.
Next thing you know, they were just coming off as if it wasn't her taking them off.
Little freaking Oompa Loompa midget. She's carrying up her clothes on.
Yes, it's true.
They started going at it in the hot tub, and it was not a pretty sight.
Oh.
And they already done this once at the beginning of the summer. They hooked up, and now they did it again. And Snooki has an explanation for that.
We hooked up. I think it was, like, whatever. It's the end of summer. Whatever.
It is the end of summer.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Whatever.
That's right.
And
I agree.
Snooki has no regrets.
I did the same thing that I did the first night, basically. I figure I come in with a bang. I leave with a bang. Oops.
Oh, yep. You delicate
See?
Young flower.
Yes, she's so nice.
So if you don't care what kind of girl you're going to have sex with, go ahead and go to the Jersey Shore. It sounds like a sure thing, LaQuisha.
That's right. In the situation, looking out over the beach, he sums the whole thing up.
You know, I ran the house from start to finish, whether people liked it or not. I had such a wild time this summer. I did whatever I wanted. I took whatever I wanted. And it was my world.
It's the situation's world.
He can have that
world.
I gotta be honest.
We're just living in it.
I don't want it.
Uh-huh.
And Snooki, as she closed the door behind her, the last person to leave the Jersey Shore house, she realized that she's not the same person she was when she got there.
I think I've come a long way. I'm mature and I'm a better person, and it really changed me here. The Jersey Shore changed me. What do you know?
She got to the Jersey Shore as a whore, And she left as a slightly tanner whore. She has changed.
She already talked about how she was the same person when she came in.
No, but she's changed.
Oh, all right.
Her hair's a little higher. Her skin's a little darker.
Okay.
And her crotch is a little crabbier.
I can't believe this is going away.
What happens? It's coming back.
That's my question. How long do we have to wait till Jersey Shore Season 2, Lucretia?
They've just announced Jersey Shore Season 2 will start filming this summer in Seaside Heights with all the favorite cast members coming back.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Very well done. Lucretia, we've enjoyed hearing from you all season long. Thank you.
Bye now.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph has a final look at Showbiz Beat for the week, coming up in about 50 minutes. First, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air just for you at 323-520-AFRO. It's amazing how many people who are listening to this program, by the way, call us while they're driving for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't know if they're just killing time or they're listening to the podcast or what, but we do get a lot of messages from people in the car. You can call, leave a message, and we play it back on the radio.
Why do I drink in the morning? Oh, wait. It's you guys. Thanks.
You can't blame everything on us.
Although that is recommended to enjoy the Kevin Bean Show.
True.
If you're high or you're drunk, it's funnier.
Of course.
Psycho Mike was going to eat a 5-pound gummy bear. So the lawyers heard of it, and then they clamped down and said, no way.
5 pounds of gummy bear? That's it? For a big weightlifting machine like that? That stud? Mike, you're such a wuss. 5 pounds ain't crap. Shut up and eat, and start at the butt.
That's good advice.
By the way, more than one listener, when they heard the bad news about how the man was shutting down, Mike versus the gummy bear, suggested that nobody could stop Mike from eating it on his own time at home. If he wanted to eat a 5-pound gummy bear and put it on YouTube, anyone could do that. That would be legal.
They could, yes. But nobody
we wouldn't
works
have
here.
Anything to do with that.
I disagree. I'm telling you, nobody that works here can do that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'm sure you're right.
This is about my fantastic celebrity sighting and conversation with Magic Johnson.
He scores! You! I just want to say, you're great.
Here's the dude that calls in traffic, but he's got a specific problem.
What sucks about traffic is that you let one person get in front of you, and then, like, the next two cars want to get in front of you, too. It's like, F*** that, man. I get you one car in front of me, maybe, and then they got to wave that happy wave like I did him a favor, and you just snuck your car in there. F*** that. You snuck in there because I looked away for 1 second, like sneeze or something. Get the
f***
out of here.
I don't think he's happy.
I'm glad that guy's behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, that's good. And he's that angry while doing it. Yeah.
I got a bone to pick with you, Kevin and Bean. It's been an awful long time since you've done a little segment known as the Let's All Talk About Megan Fox. What the hell happened, guys? And speaking of picking bones, Lisa May, I got a bone you can pick. Know what I'm saying?
Ew.
I do not know what you're saying, no.
I will tell you that we used to do Let's All Talk About Megan Fox, and it was a very popular segment. But what happened is once Dave interviewed her, there was nothing left to say about Megan Fox anymore.
Because it was so in-depth, so exhaustive,
so many parts that they covered every possible topic about Megan Fox. Remember?
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
I mean, after that, where do we go? There's nothing left for us.
I don't remember the context of this, but Bean did say the proof is in the grooves at one point. I don't remember why.
I do remember him doing that. We were talking about Vampire Weekend.
And he was talking about, you know, cred with other musicians and things. And Bean's way of saying the proof is on your record with how well you in play your music.
All right, good. So anyway, that's what this is.
The proof is in the groove. Die, Bean. Your mom. Die. Lisa May, speaking of the proof is in the groove, I'd like to prove it in your groove, if you get what I'm saying.
All right. Now, honestly, don't.
No better, right?
Honestly, don't understand what you're saying.
All this drain makes me want to pee. Speaking of pee, Lisa May?
No!
What?
No!
What's happening?
No!
Lisa's very popular on the Afro Line today.
We are complaining because it's been raining for a week.
Yeah,
there are parts of the country where they have it a little worse than us, maybe.
So you guys got a little bit of rain. Now you know how we feel in Kansas, you bunch of assholes.
Ouch.
Move. Right? Move.
Yeah, of course. Hey, you have the option. My parents moved. You first could move.
This song is not our fault.
Ra, ra, ah, ah, ah. Ra, ma, ra, ma, ma, ga, ga, ooh, la, la. What's your bad romance?
Oh, no. There's that song in my
my head all day long. Rah, rah, sis, boomba. I'm going postal. I know who to blame for driving me insane. Kevin and Dean are lame. I'm going postal.
It really is the worst songs that get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. They're the worst songs that get stuck in your head all day. You don't want that to happen, but you have no control over it.
I woke up with that song in my head the other
day. So morning. Here you go again. Sad little song, isn't it?
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 9:45.
This is the Kevin Beach Show. Ralph Garman has joined us in studio with the most exciting and dynamic showbiz beat report of the week. Am I right, Ralph?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
We got to wait for the showbiz.
All right.
We're waiting for it.
Great list from Entertainment Weekly magazine via EW.com, where they release their list of TV's top 50 biggest bonehead moves ever.
Oh, good.
In lieu of all the conversation that's being had about David Letterman. Well, he's in the mix, too. But Leno and Conan O'Brien and NBC, they have decided to release their list of the 50 biggest bombs ever unleashed on television. It's a great list of huge mistakes, things so stupid, mistakes made so massive by TV networks, producers, or actors that it warrants the question, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
And here's the top 15 of that 50. I think you'll find them entertaining. Number one, of course, is putting Jay Leno on 10 p.m.
Sure.
Because that's the biggest boneheaded move in television history. Number two, Fox canceling Family Guy twice.
Yeah, they did. That's true.
That was probably a mistake in retrospect. Number three, ABC's Cavemen.
Yeah.
The sitcom based on the Geico insurance Cavemen characters. Remember them?
How could that miss?
Number four, Moonlighting's David and Manny finally hook up. Yeah, that killed that show right there. That was a big mistake.
That.
Moonlighting with Bruce Willis?
Yeah, I mean, I remember
Cybill
that it existed.
Shepherd. Yeah, they had a lot of sexual tension on that show, and then they finally got them together, and it killed the show off. Number five, The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer. It was a sitcom on Fox about a black slave back in Revolutionary War times.
Mm-hmm. So it was a sitcom about that?
Oh, yeah.
It was a Chadwick Pride, right?
Yeah. Wow. You can see why they may be on the list of worst ideas
about that.
In TV history.
Awesome.
David Caruso, Shelley Long, and Pernell Roberts all leaving their hit TV shows a little early.
Yeah, for bigger things, and then that didn't happen.
Bigger and better things. Coupling, show on NBC, was based on a popular NBC sitcom.
I don't know what that
is. A BBC sitcom. It was a British show.
I did see that.
That was great in England, and they did an American version, and it was unwatchable.
No.
Number eight, ABC overdoes it with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, putting it on every night of the week. Number nine, Felicity cuts her hair.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Number 10, the XFL on NBC. That may have been a mistake in retrospect.
That debuted to huge ratings first week, remember? And then everybody said, all right, seat it now. It sucks.
Number 11, all terrible late-night talk shows, including The Magic Hour and The Chevy Chase Show. They're all lumped together on number 11.
There were a lot of them.
Remember Rick Dees' Into the Night? Do you remember that show?
Barely.
Oh, Rick Dees having his own late-night talk show. That was magic. Pat Sajak tried it.
Yep, that's right.
Joan Rivers had one. It's been a long, long...
Conan O'Brien, remember he had one for a few months?
That's right.
It's a long, a large landscape of corpses strewn about the late-night television time slot. Reality host destroying the Emmys. Remember when they had the five reality hosts hosting the Emmys?
That was the worst.
Terrible.
It's number 12 on the list. Number 13, you probably don't know, this happened before everybody's time, but Jackie Gleason, the legendary TV star, had a show on, a short-lived show. In fact, it was one episode called You're in the Picture.
Uh-huh.
It was a game show. And it was so horrible that it only aired on. This is back in the days of live television. The next week in that time slot, Jackie Gleason came out and apologized to the audience for the week before.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Did a completely different show the next week. It only lasted once. Number 14, Brady Bunch adds Cousin Oliver.
Yeah!
Remember cute little Cousin Oliver?
Sure.
That was a huge mistake.
That was dumb.
And number five is Kid Nation. Remember when they put those kids and they put them in an abandoned, Western town and they made them fight each other?
And wasn't that like 5-year-olds cooking?
Yeah. Was like, what are you doing? You're five.
It's a nightmare. So there's more on the list, but I thought those were entertaining enough to give you the highlights. We'll be talking about the NBC mistake, I think, for some time to come.
Yeah, I think so too.
I just get the sense. Orlando Bloom's a lucky dude.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've seen GQ magazine this week, but Miranda Kerr does a nude pictorial in GQ magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's one of the Victoria's Secret models.
Yes, she is. She's 24 years old. Mm-hmm. She's been dating Orlando Bloom since 2007. And apparently she's a diehard Buddhist that chants twice a day. That's a deal breaker. Do you remember my experience with the chanters?
Yeah, there were next door neighbors.
Chanters I had living next door to me.
And they were loud chanters.
For like 8 hours a day? I don't care how hot she is. I would have to hit her with a ball peen hammer right between the eyes.
Oh, that seems bad.
Those chanters, that's not good for anybody.
Can you chant silently? I don't think you can.
I don't think
you can.
I think chanting by definition has to be out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay. I don't care how hot she is.
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker. He's done. And, of course, I want to give you a heads up tonight. Don't miss it. The Haitian Relief Telethon will be happening on all the major networks. Bono and The Edge have some new music they'll be debuting tonight. They're performing along with Jay-Z, a new song called Stranded. Check that out. Rihanna will also be performing from London with Jay-Z and The Edge and Bono. Beyonce and Madonna have also been added to the list of performers this evening. So it's going to be quite the event.
No, thank you.
Conan O'Brien performs his last Tonight Show tonight. You want to check that out, 11:35.
But he's made a deal with NBC that he's not going to badmouth him?
Right.
For the money?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
So he probably won't be saying anything. However, he's got Will Ferrell and Tom Hanks on tonight. They, I don't think, have such an agreement with NBC.
No, that's true.
So they can pretty much be free to say anything they like.
How about that?
I will tell you that having watched Conan the last few nights and seeing the clips that he's played of highlights of the 7 months doing the Tonight Show, I missed some really funny stuff on that show, as did apparently a lot of Americans because the ratings weren't that great. But he really had some funny moments in the last few months.
Yes. And now he's gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
It will be interesting to see what the ratings are like once Jay Leno takes over again in March. March 1st will be his first show back. I guarantee you there will be some looky-loo sort of factor where
sure.
people will tune in out of curiosity.
Sure.
And that may last for a week or maybe even two. But then once it settles in come summertime, I think it should be interesting to see what happens. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Singer Willa Ford celebrates her 29th birthday today. Actor Balthazar Getty is 35 years old. Oh, don't get me started. I'm so excited.
Going to Pee Wee tonight?
See Pee-wee
I know
tonight.
You are.
I love Pee Wee.
Why don't you marry me then?
Jazzy Jeff of DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince is 45 years old today. Diane Lane celebrates her 45th birthday. Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler is 46 years old today. Linda Blair celebrates her 51st birthday. And Steve Perry of Journey is 61 years old today.
No. No longer the singer of Journey.
He's not. He was at one time. And now he is just a guy who looks like an Indian.
Not much of a gig.
He goes around casinos trying to get his share. And then goes to the Indian casinos and says, where's my check? And someone says, you're not really an Indian. You just look like one.
He got out very early. I mean, he's been gone from Journey for, what, 15 years or something, right?
Oh, has he really?
And then they replaced him with another dude, and then when that guy left, they replaced him with the Filipino dude. So,
yeah,
it's been a long time since Steve Perry, but he never really went off to have the big solo career that he threatened at the time
Cherry.
He left the band. Yeah, he had one hit and then vanished.
He had a song?
Cherry, yeah.
Oh, Sherry.
Oh, Sherry. Yeah. Oh, Cherry.
Cherry!
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
I know you are. What am I?
That was pretty funny.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is Avidan.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We've got Snooky.
Roll another one.
Thank you, Dick.
Just like the other one.
No way.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Want some poppers?
And I need another hit.
I spent all my money on hookers. I spent all my money on blow. I spent all my money on everything. I don't even know where to go.
Roll another one.
Too much information and shit, man.
Just like the other one.
I say no.
This one seems to be about
no friggin' wait.
I don't have another cent.
Jesus have souls. You don't know me. You're not God.
time.
Just passing around.
That's what she said.
Well, don't go back and join my friend.
I
just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
This is a complete and utter waste of time.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye, diddly eye.
So long.
God bless you.
Leah, I'm glad.
Goodbye.
Take care.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara, dude.
So long.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ha-ha. All right, we're done.
Good to go. Good to go.
You can bet your ass on it. God bless America and God bless you. Good night.